Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
What's happening, Leo?
Good evening, and welcome to The Cricket Show, broadcasting around the world every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow, or fast bowl us an email with your questions and comments to thecricketshow@comcast.net. And now, let's talk cricket, lovely cricket.
Yes, we will talk cricket, lovely cricket, and you can reach us at 1-515-605-985. It's a pleasure once more to present yet another show. We hope everyone is okay, and we are happy to have on board with us Dennis Heath and Mertius Nisbet. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Off to you, Mertius.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Leanne, and good afternoon, Dennis.
Yes,
how's everybody doing?
I'm fine in my neck of the woods. It's a wonderful day. The sun is out, shining it all in all its glory. It was a little cold, but the sun has gone by. We do have, Dennis
okay.
is out, and of course, I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods, but it's really
my
good.
Neck
Thank
is
you,
very cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cold today.
Good afternoon to you, Leon and Merchants, out here in sunny Southern California. It is still quite sunny with a cool 70 degrees and not a cloud in the sky. So I'm in heaven almost. Back to you.
You're in heaven. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we open the show.
Thank you.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you have afforded us to have yet another show. We pray you'll let the show go on without any interruptions, and we trust that you'll just have a wonderful time in our presence, Lord. We'll have a in your presence, and we just pray that all who will be with us will be happy that they spend a few hours with us. Thank you for the kindness that you have shared with us, by you allowing the folks to contribute towards our show. We're grateful, Lord, for their help and their support. And we are also grateful for the ones who are supporting us morally. We want, Lord, to ask your continued blessing and healing touches on our friends and loved ones, namely Bobsy Nisbet, Murchis' mother, Eunice Francis, my dear wife, Dr. Leroy Lassie and his daughter Lisa, who are struggling, Connie Whitley, my niece, Ellie Matt, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, Mertius Nisbet, El Camino Willett, Wentworth Francis, Dennis Kelman, Iselma Cornelius, Roston Otto, Joseph Guntrup, Willis and Mona Daniel, Fillmore Holbike, Dr. Roger Brown, and all those who have not expressed their concerns, Lord. We pray for them. We hope that you will continue to bless them, continue to allow them to be in our presence, and we pray, Father, that all will be well with you as you keep us safe and keep the show interference-free, and thanks for your loving kindness for allowing us to provide yet another show. And may you just guide us as we go along this evening. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, so Dennis and Mertius, got quite a bit to cover this evening. Of course, we are hoping to hear from Colin James around about 7 o'clock this evening, and we are just hoping that all will be well with him. We are doing a live feed as well, and we are hopeful that all will be well as we go through the process. So Dennis, anything before we start the outline? Anything that you wish to mention?
Yes, Leon, I'm currently having a peek out of one eye at the Bangladesh-Pakistan Women's World Cup match in progress right now, just started, and Bangladesh has scored 8 without loss after, in fact, in the first over of the match.
Okay, sounds good. And what about your merch? Is anything for your friends and loved ones? They'd like to hear your wonderful voice.
No, just wishing them a beautiful Sunday evening. And I hope everybody's okay who's sick. I hope they feel much better. And have a good night rest.
Indeed. Love okay. We do have with us Audley. So why don't we welcome Audley as well? Good evening to you, Audley.
Good evening to you, Mr. Francis, and my fellow panelists, except for Mr. Dennis, of course. So it's good afternoon to you, sir, over there in California. And to our listeners throughout the world, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you all. It's a beautiful Sunday evening in my neck of the woods here, and hope you're having a wonderful evening, or wonderful time wherever you are, whatever time it is. And yes, and I just spoke to Marubi, and she is doing great. All right?
That's wonderful news. So with that said, let me just go through the brief outline. I'm just going to make it brief as possible because we're having a guest at 7 o'clock, hopefully. We'll have no problems bringing in Mr. Colin James. We had hoped to have him some weeks before, but we were not able to make the contact. But today we hope we can make a great contact. So with that said, the Women's World Cup, West Indies. Well, of course, we are following West Indies. We'll just give you the outline. The standings, Australia, they're leading with 6 points, followed by India, South Africa in third place. In fourth place, you have New Zealand. West Indies are fifth. England, they are sitting at sixth. And Bangladesh is seventh. And Pakistan are at the bottom of the table, eighth position. We just hope that West Indies can come through with a win or two. We have the big encounter against Australia come Tuesday, I think it is. Yes, Tuesday they do have a matchup against, no, it is on Monday the 12th. The 12th. No, what am I saying? That was gone. And the next encounter for the West Indies will be Tuesday against Australia. Looking forward to that. And India really put a beating in us, but we'll talk about that later. Want to talk about some other news now? Well, West Indies versus England. That match ended in a draw. Not a tame draw, but an exciting draw, as it were. England scored 311 and 349 for six. West Indies replied with 375 and 147 for four. The main point about it of note is that Nkrumah Bonner, he got the player of the match, which is for his wonderful strength in the first innings and his knockout in the second. India against Sri Lanka at the second test match and the close of play at day two. India 252 and 303 for nine. Sri Lanka 109 and 28 for one. Again, Sri Lanka replying to, well, they still need another 419 runs before, if they can save this match. It's so many days left, it seems almost impossible. Again, India 252 and 303 for nine. Sri Lanka 109 and 28 for one. In next, Pakistan versus Australia. And believe you me, Australia scored a whopping 504 for 8 of 180 overs. Goodness, man, that trumps a day two. They meant to bat once, and that is how it seems to me. India Premier League is very much getting ready to commence March the 26th, and they'll go until May the 29th, and there will be some 70 T20 matches. And we just hope that everything will go well there. In fact, Duplessis. He has been named the RCB captain. You know, Coley's not anymore, so Fats Duplessis, he has been named. And the KKR, they have roped in Aaron Finch as the replacement for Alex Hales. And the 2023 World Cup, the BCCI, they are to form a local organizing committee with the eye on the ICC World Tournament. And some news coming out of Antigua that it's hard for bowlers to on wickets like these, says Simon, meaning the pitch on and in Antigua. So we look forward to hear what I'll ask some questions about that later on. And that's about all that I have. I'll make it briefly as possible so that we can have some time out for a special guest. Audley, inside it.
Okay, the inside it for today. It's International Women's Month. Should be focusing on that before, but a little bit late, but I'm coming in. The first female cricketer to be named among Wisden 5 cricketers of the year is, you'll know, she made 156 not out at Lord's in ODI, which still remains the highest score made in ODI at Lord's. And when she did that, she beat the previous record, which was held by Sir Vivian Richards at 138 not out in 157 balls against England, rather. Yes, she did that, and she still holds the record. No other than England's Claire Taylor. Claire Taylor, the first female cricketer to be named among Wisden's 5 cricketers of the year, and that was 2009. Here we go. The inside edge.
Okay. Anything from you, Dennis?
Nothing else to add to that other than the update of the score. Bangladesh is 10 without loss after 3 overs.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 3 balls behind you.
Okay, shall we begin by touching some of the topics until 7:30 when we go to the... Why don't we just...
Not 7:30, 6:30.
6:30. Mm-hmm. That's 6:30, that's correct. Let's start with the Women's World Cup, where the West Indies against Pakistan, not against India, that was a thorough beating. Why don't you kick off, Dennis?
We're going to go with... Are we going to do the media corner first, or are we going to go into the other discussion?
Okay, well, do the media corner. Yes, that's correct. Yes, we have forgotten.
Yes, correct. We have some ICC news roundup from the media corner. Several items. The first one, of course, was the Rawalpindi pitch, the pitch that scored 1,000 plus runs in 3 innings. And of course, we have to ask, the Rawalpindi pitch is rated as below average. The pitch that was used, the first test match between Pakistan and Australia at the Rawalpindi Stadium, has been rated as below average. And the match venue has received 1 demerit point. A member of the ICC panel of match referees, Ranjan McDougall, said the pitch did not have a great deal pace and bounce, nor did it assist the spinners. This does not represent an even contest between bat and ball. In keeping with ICC guidelines, I rate this pitch below average. So for noting, when a venue accumulates 5 demerit points, it will be suspended from staging any international cricket for 12 months. 10 demerit point gives it suspension for 24 months. That's the first piece of news from the ICC media roundup, courtesy of the ICC. And I don't know if we want to comment on it as we go along, because it might be useful. How can a pitch with so many runs scored be considered below average? I don't quite grasp that, because is the match not between bat and ball, and both teams have the same opportunities? Mm-hmm. Are we saying that we must have a pitch that changes during the duration? Is it not up to each team to be able to play on whatever's available? What's your thought, Ivor, Leon, and Audley?
Yeah, I find that a lot of question is being asked about pitches. For instance, Simmons is questioning the pitching Antigua as well. He's saying that, you know, but it's hard to bowl on the wicket, on the pitch. When you have three centuries, you have Azari Joseph taking six wickets in the match, you have Seals taking six wickets in the match, you know, so you just have to bend your back. You have Jason Holder taking wickets, and you have Leach, the spinner, taking wickets. And there were some three centuries by England and one by the West Indies. So I don't know how you measure a pitch. How you measure a pitch, you just have to, it should be made that you give an opportunity to eat the bowler and the batsman. And if we have centuries scored on a wicket or a pitch, and you get bowlers taking wickets, I think it's suitable. I don't know what they don't want, a pitch that is set that you bowl a ball and before you know it, is flying across your throat or something like that. Yeah, but I have no problem with pitches that are being prepared. I was watching, I was reading some news today in India. There was a score of 795 runs in the Ranji Trophy.
I have it right before me here, Leon. I have it right before me looking at it. I'll be that next.
So, what are they going to say about that pitch? What about the pitch in Pakistan? The one in Pakistan that scored, India scored, not India, but Pindley.
Australia scored. Mm-hmm.
Australia and Pakistan scored. Mammoth, it ended in a draw. But what? You got to... I don't know how to say, but the important thing is that you're going to find that, and it really tests a batsman's ability to be patient and wait for the ball, and a bowler to be always on his length and line, and he'll get success. So that's my just take on the matter.
Yeah, my thing is that the criticism is really surprising to me. You mm-hmm. can understand if you have a venue where both sides were bowled out for less than 100, like twice. You have, you know, match been over in 2 days. And only thing that would dominate was the ball. Then you can look at that, although it's always the case that two teams has equal opportunity. But it would be a dominance of just the bowlers, as you can see. On both occasions, you know, so you'd have to argue that, well, something is wrong where the pitch's concert was heavily decided in favor of the bowlers. I could understand that. But when you have a pitch where they are piling up runs and the other side come and they're doing the same thing, and bowlers are taking wicket and stuff, how come you're gonna give it demerit points for that? You're going to say it's too much of a batsman paradise and XYZ? I don't understand that one. I just understand. And Leon alludes to that match. You're talking about the Ranji Trophy. Because I had it just in front of me right here. I'm having it. And I'm saying 769 for 9. Yeah, Virat Singh making 107. Kashanga scoring 266. He's a wicketkeeper. And Rane Nadim at 123. And, I mean, it's 2 days. They accumulated 769. There's another match where two guys were playing in a 40 over match. I would have to look that up. And one guy scored 400 and something runs out of that, right? 400 in a 40 over match, right? Next one, the other opener made 190 yards, and it was 600 and something for one. And the bowler the other side cheaply won by most 400 and whatever. But I'm just saying, what would they, it's not an international matter, no, but how would they score that pitch? You know, how would they score that pitch? Yeah, it's really, really funny, that one to me. That's it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Leon, one quick follow-on from what you just said, that you heard the West Indies coach was criticizing the Antigua pitch. I find that most surprising, simply because we saw the spinner Jack Leash had the West Indians really, really bogged down and concentrating hard. So you can tell the wicket allowed pace to come through and it allowed the spinner to come through. I don't know what the coach is complaining about other than...
Well, let me read what he says here. He says, the wicket, he means the pitch. People always say the wicket is the pitch. He means the pitch. Yes. The wicket has been flat. So once you get your head down, it is difficult to get wickets. Once you get it's difficult to get wickets on that. So I want that. I wasn't that nervous, he says. He reports to AF Press. So AFP. And that's the coach.
You know, Leon, I think that it's time our coach learned that, I mean, the West Indian coach learned that he should know when to open his mouth and when to keep it closed, because, quite frankly, it is not the first time we've had statements from our West Indian coach, and the statement seems to fly in the face of reality. Anyway, here's another news item courtesy of ICC. Women's World Cup, New Zealand, too strong for India, where New Zealand beat India by 62 runs, scoring 260 and bowled India out for 198. Now, of course, following on that, we had the West Indies pulling off another upset as they beat England by 7 runs to secure their first ever ICC Women's World Cup victory over the defending champions, with England team chasing West Indies 225. Player of that match was Campbell for the West Indies on that one.
Yes.
And the West Indies won by 7. But, you know, on the India side, you know, considering how dominant India has been in this series so far, it was quite interesting to see New Zealand beating India by that runs. And subsequently, of course, New Zealand has been struggling a bit. So that's that news there, if there's any comment from either of you gentlemen. Yeah.
Just one comment. You know, I find it strange, though, that a team is on 4 points, equal to the other team, the New Zealand team have played 4 matches, as opposed to West Indies, who have played 3 matches. They are both on 4 matches. Their net run rate is superior to the West Indies. You know, I don't know if something should be taken into account, the fact that they have played 4 matches, which is, they have played 4 matches and they have the same points. So it means even the West Indies had gotten a rain out, they'll get
an extra point.
Shouldn't a team on the same points, though they have an superior or inferior run rate, the team that is placed has a superior run rate, which meant they should be on top. But shouldn't some points be given for a team who will play less match and have the same points?
No, I don't think so. No, they have the opportunity to make it up. They have the opportunity to make it up.
But you know. And
as you pointed out, Leon, just in case it should get rained out, the West Indies going to benefit, because they would get 1 point, and maybe if they play the match, they would have lost it. Nobody knows, right? So
nobody knows.
The fact that they are one less, I think it should stay exactly how it is.
I know that happens in football too, you know, but I'm just being the devil's advocate and saying, you know, I know that's how it is, and that ought to be. But I'm saying to myself, what advantage they have for having a match in hand, a game in hand? Nothing. That's my point. Go on, Dennis.
Okay. More ICC news. Ravindra Jadeja is the number one all-rounder in the MRF Tires ICC Men's Test Player Rankings. Jadeja performance at India's recent test win against Sri Lanka has catapulted him to the number one position in the MRF Tires ICC Men's Test Players Ranking. His unbeaten 175 lifted him up to 17th place from 54th place to 37th in the batting, and his 9-wicket haul moved him up to 17th place on the bowlers list. This all-round performance has placed Jadeja at number one all-rounder. He displaced Jason Holder, who was number one since February 2021. And, of course, that's the news, and we know his tremendous abilities, so I will let you two gentlemen show your 2 cents worth amongst that.
Deservingly, Jadeja deserved to be up there. Having scored 175 and taking 9 wickets in the last match,
Forget not out.
And he's not out at that. That's correct. You know, that is awesome. And I always pick him as the best. I often tell Hayden Walsh, Hayden, you have to watch that. You're supposed to be West Indies, the Jadeja. So I'm telling you, I like him. I like him. And if I were to pick a World 11 right now, he has to be in my 11. So
anything for you, Andre?
Yeah, I just said he deserves to be there. That's all. And he has been out for a while, 6-2. And the fact that he came back, turned around in such great way and with that great innings. And he's been taking, and let us not forget that he took 9 wickets in that same match. Josh had been shy at one shot of taking a 10 for on the 175. He did do that greatly in the two following matches with the bat, but hey, that doesn't prevent him from holding the position for maybe yet a little while. So Jason, there are some other challenges, for Jason to step up his game. Not that he has been fading, because he's bowling well, very economical too, and he's kept taking wickets, and he's been batting well, and it seems as if whenever he meets with a banner, they seem to be having something good going together.
Well, you know, these days cricket is a sport played by both men and women. And here, some more news from the media. Meg Lanning climbs to number 2 in the MRF Tires ICC Women's ODI ranking. That is, Australia's Meg Lanning climbed to number 2 in the latest women's ranking. She is just 1-15 rating points away from the number 1 spot. That is currently occupied by her teammate, Alyssa Healy. In the same ranking, we have Hayley Matthews of the West Indies with a brilliant score of 119 against New Zealand, and her 2-wicket haul moved her to number 4 on the all-rounders list. And Ayabonga Kaka of South Africa is now at number 6, while Sne Rana and Pooja Vastrika have moved up to their career best position. These are from India. And Rachel Ames of England with the brilliant 130 runs has moved to 6 spots to number 7. And England Nat Skiver with her century was moved up 5 spots to position number 6. So there we can see that the women are playing their part in cricket, making it just as exciting for men and women. Leon, over to you.
Congratulations to Lamin. She deservingly on top. But what is I just want to say congratulations to Hayley Matthews too. She has been performing well, and it's left to be seen what DeAndre Dutton going to do. But my concern in West Indies cricket is Stefani Taylor. She looks out of sorts. She's not performing at her peak. I don't know if she is nursing an injury, but she looks lethargic on the field. I don't know if you guys noticed it. And she seldom bowled. She came on late to bowl. So she deserved to be in the running, but I don't know if she's sick or something is bothering her. But glad for Haley. And we know DeAndre going to be back up in the running again, right up top there. That's my take.
Audley?
Yeah, I noticed it that with Taylor, yeah, that she's not been bowling. Especially at this time when in the World Cup, you'd be expecting the captain, who also is one of those. Well, she has been number one for a long time, even as an all rounder. So you'd expect her to be putting her show in her hands big time, and she seemed to be going through some struggles. And my hope is that she'll come through in short while, because we need her like here and now. And let's leave it at that. Let's hope that she really comes through, and the West Indies will be much better when she performs better.
Definitely.
Yes, thank you. These news courtesy of the ICC, and I think Audley mentioned earlier that this was International Women's Day.
Yeah.
And here the
month,
ICC...
The month.
And the ICC has called on the cricket world to come together to hashtag I declare what action they will take to drive and accelerate the growth of cricket. The partnership of the ICC urges individual action by the cricket family and fans to support gender equality. Women's cricket is one of the ICC's six strategic priorities for growth and female participation at all levels. We are committed to gender equality and equal opportunities for girls and boys. Cricket fans all over the world are urged to get involved. And I add to that the fact that we have the Women's World Cup and we see all the outreaches going on. So we are very pleased here at this end to see the contribution being made by the ICC to the growth and development. And they have the hashtag, I declare, cricket commits to driving change on the International Women's Month. Back to you, Audley and Leon.
And may I just add to that we here on the cricket show make special efforts to honor the ladies as well, the female cricketers. And when it comes to birthdays, I'm going through the list of the countries, make sure that the ladies are also included as much, as long as we have, because, your space is limited, how much you can have, but I always make sure we have some ladies, if they are available, to put them right in there, just as the men. No discrimination here. And
all right.
The cricket show.
Well, at this time, what time is it? Time for the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. So I'm going to pump it up a little bit, and then we ask audience to come right in.
Brother Stevie Wonder. Oh, yeah. Brother Stevie Wonder, happy birthday to you. Okay, so this, the sound of Stevie, it's the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. It's a time of the evening when we take a look in the cricketing fraternity and we say happy birthday, happy anniversary. Or if we have to sadly say, hey, this brother passed away in such and such a time. But, hey, the time when you can call in also, blogtalkradio.com. But here's the number, 515-605-9850. 515-605-9850. Welcome to the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. And today is the Henry's Day indeed, because Ivor's twin sons, Ivan and Evan, they're celebrating a birthday today. So we know Ivor will have to, I know he's listening, maybe he can talk right now, but sometime in the show, I know he'll be coming in to, of course, with his twin sons. Happy birthday, Ivan and Evan. And today also, if we look back, 1967, when Sir Frank Worrell died on this day, 13th of March, 1967. He was only 52 years old, Sir Frank Worrell, first black West Indian captain. And last year, this time, we learned about the death of Chipper Boxer, the marvelous one, Marvelous Marvin Hadler. He died last year, the 13th of March. Okay, so cricket now. Clifford Roach from the West Indies, Trinidad and Tobago, of course, first West Indian to score a century and the first West Indian to score a double century. Mr. In Test cricket, that is. Mr. Clifford Roach. Bernard Julian still with us. Dennis Ramdin and Robert Samuels out of Jamaica. Yeah, first three were all Trinidad and Tobago. From Trinidad and Tobago. So we have Shamin Anwar from the United Arab Emirates. Walter Bligh and Cyril Pohl from England. Dirk Willem from Australia. Anand Akmal from Pakistan. Neil Wagner and Bernd Smith from New Zealand. James Brickley from Scotland. Mohammed Siraj from India. All having birthdays today. Tomorrow, Steph Curry. Yep, Steph Curry, superb. The king of three-pointers in NBA of all time. Steph Curry. He'll be celebrating his birthday. And gymnast Simone Biles also. She was born back in 1997. And Ivor's son-in-law, Jiddu, will be celebrating also. So double reason for make triple reason for Ivor to come on later. When it comes to cricket, Bruce Reid from Australia, Johnny Gleeson, Trent Copeland, Roy Stockton, all Australians. From England, John Stevenson, Melissa Reynard, James Vince, and Jake Ball. South Africa, we have Peter van der Murray. From New Zealand, we have Glenn Schlossberg, Vijay Yadav from India, Elton Chetambura from Zimbabwe, and Sidraj Nawab, female cricketer out of Pakistan. Donna Brown, this person, Dorrell Brown, concerns Donna. All right, Donna, talk to you a little later. Nevin Sutherland, also from out of Jamaica. She will turn about 54 years old. Colin Croft will be celebrating along with Tamar Lambert. Croft from Guyana, Lambert from Jamaica. David Coley, Ben Helfinios, Julie Hunter, female cricketer, Sammy Carter, all from Australia. Trevor Franklin and Kyle Mills from New Zealand. Mohsin Khan from Pakistan. And we have Nick Stumptum from the Netherlands. Bill Lundy and Rory Kleinvolt from South Africa. From Canada, Charles Bakash. And from England, Richard Kettleberg, that he's an umpire. And Dennis and Angela will be celebrating an wedding anniversary. It's somebody, I don't have the name here, but I should be. I think it's concerning Dennis or Mr. O'Brien. Okay, I'll double check on that. I'll double check on that one. Okay, so for the 16th sports commentator from Radio Jamaica, Ed Barnes will be celebrating also, and along with Miss Lynette from Out Kilsand, she's always on the Saturday morning. So Lynette will be celebrating on the 16th. Happy birthday when it comes, Lynette. And it was the debut of Chris Gayle in Test cricket versus Zimbabwe 2002, Gayle made his debut. Birthdays, Otis Gibson out of Barbados, Daniel Small, female cricketer out of Barbados also, and Patrick Brown from a female cricketer, or Patricia Brown, sorry, she from Trinidad and Tobago. Maurice Turnbull, Catherine Wink, Joe Denley, and Joe McMaster, all from England. Dave Watmore and Greg Dyer from Australia. Percy Manchell, South Africa. Heath Street from Zimbabwe. Khan from Afghanistan. Vinoba Patadi Sr. from of India. And Oshadi Rangasinghe, female cricketer from Sri Lanka. And for the 17th, somebody's been knocking at the door. Mr. Renford Door. Yep, Mr. Renford Door over there. 2020 Vision, he'll be celebrating his birthday. Happy birthday to you, Ren, or friend Ren, as we call him. Happy birthday to you. And the anniversary of my sister, Jean and Carl, they'll be celebrating their wedding anniversary. Also on that same day, yep, the 17th of March. Cricket, Roger Harper from Guyana. Andy Bryan from Barbados. We have Danza Hyatt from Jamaica. Afi Fletcher, female cricket, out of Grenada, West Indies. Douglas Kerr and Will with a Fuller Pinch from England. We have Andrew Hudson, South Africa. From Australia, Mike Harvey and Rhonda Kendall. And from Ireland, Angus Dunlop. Donald Trayapiano from Zimbabwe. For the 18th, we have Raymond Stewart, sprinter out of Jamaica, first Jamaican to run a sub 10 seconds, and at 9.96 personal best. And that day also, back in 2017, one of the legends and greatest performer of all time, Mr. Chuck Berry, great guitarist and performer overall. He died on that day back in 1917. Mr. Carlisle Powell from Nevis, right there. He has a program in 2020 Vision 2. And the father of course, Kieran Powell. He'll be celebrating a birthday also on the 18th of March. Clem Hill from Australia, Len Johnson, Graham Porter, and Lindsay Raylor, female cricketer. From England, David Lloyd, Sean Yodell, John Clay, Nicholas Wisdom, and Philip Hand from South Africa, Mr. Ishkanath Tolkar from India, and Shahraz Khan, female cricketer, out of Pakistan, and Leslie Murdoch from New Zealand. Finally, for March the 19th, we have from the West Indies, John Holder from Barbados. Haley Matthews. Yeah, we're just talking about Miss Haley. Haley Matthews on Saturday will be celebrating her birthday, and she's quite young too. She may be about 22 or thereabouts. From Australia, Warren Lee. Luke Woodstock and Sean Hague, umpire out of New Zealand. Norman Yardley from England, Julie May, Ashley Giles, and Schofield Hague, all from England. And from South Africa, we have Clive Van Renev. From Pakistan, we had Saeed Ali Naqvi and Mohammed Ayaz. From Sri Lanka, Rahanka Heath Harat. And the final one from Afghanistan, Dawat Zadran. and that's from Afghanistan. That's all I have here for you today, Leon. So,
yeah. How about you, Dennis?
Some of
you
the
have
personal
any...
birthday.
Yeah, we just, yeah.
Well,
no birthdays? No.
My brother Stanley has a anniversary coming up in about 4 days from now. I don't know how many years, but it's been quite a while. So shout out to my brother Stanley Heath out there in Connecticut and his lovely wife on their anniversary. And, of course, a special hello to my own dear wife for our anniversary coming up in 2 days.
In 2 days? Happy anniversary.
3 days.
So that's the one. It was Dennis's own. Right.
Yes.
That's anniversary.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well,
yes, Dennis and Angela wedding anniversary. That's it.
Yes.
That's the 15th.
That's
the 15th.
Yes. Okay. 16. We'll do that. We'll do 16.
Yes.
16.
Man, how many years that will be, Dennis? How many years? About 25?
22.
Okay. Not bad. You're just about 50% of what I've gone through. But anyway.
I don't know what next stuff, but I have written on it here. Our Dennis.
Leon.
Yes, sir.
Can I correct that? I said 22. I should have said 26.
Oh, man, 4 years. Okay, I said just about half of mine. So you're closer to me now. Yes, indeed. And I just want to bring you guys news about Mr. McKenzie. I happen to have spoken to him this morning in the hospital, and he says he's coming through fine. He's coming, recovering fine, and he expects to be out of the hospital Monday or Tuesday, and he sends his regards to all the panelists. You know, he say, I'm sick in the radio. I'm sick seeing you guys on the radio, but I see you in the radio. So, guys, keep him
Something
in your
happened.
Prayers. You know, he fell and was hospitalized. I don't know if you didn't hear.
Oh.
Oh, yes, he fell. Oh, yes, you weren't here yesterday. That's correct. Yes, he fell and was hospitalized. And Dennis brought the sad news to us. Yesterday, and he just faintly recorded.
Well, he had
an unfortunate fall at home and managed to done some damage to his hip, so he's had to have some surgery. But he's comfortable and tells us that he hopes to be home in the next couple of days, as Leon has indicated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank God for that. The fact that we can hear from him and he's still talking. And, you know, I'm really happy. And according to the doctors, they always say, they'll tell you that you break a hip and then you fall. But they always say, the other way, you fall and then you break a hip. So I don't know which one. But, you know, the Lord be with him. And our prayers will be with him, too, because, of course, we want to see him on the radio. And we want him to stay as long around with us and his family, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. I want to send birthday best wishes to my great sister friend. We had her here some years ago, Jackie Lawrence. It's just like my sister. We had parties together. She hosts the party, and I host parties, and her first husband, you know, he died suddenly, and his second husband, a real good friend of ours, so just want to just send happy birthday belatedly to you, Jackie. Hope you're listening, but I know Sunday is not a good day for you. So we talked last night, and I'm so glad to hear that you're enjoying. And she got one of the biggest cakes. I don't know how she got that through the mail, but it came from New York. And I tell her to send a slice for me. But happy birthday to you, Jackie, and to all the ones who are celebrating birthday. We don't have any more, but I'm going to dedicate this one to all the birthday ones, and then I have one coming up for the.
I have a friend. I have I have a friend by Slim. Don't ask me his real name. I only know him by Slim. I called him earlier in my phone. It's still Slim, but he's having a birthday today. And on Thursday, Rashida Francis, a good friend of mine also, will be celebrating on her birthday on the 17th. And of course, we'll mention Mr. Renford Gore, who will be celebrating his and in a couple of days. All right? So back to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's do this song for the folks who are celebrating birthday, Iva's two kids, and all the others who were mentioned, Jackie, Lawrence, and of course, your birthday friend.
Iva's son-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Oh, son-in-law, and you're Slim.
Yeah, two kids, two kids and a son-in-law.
Yes, and son-in-law. And then Jackie Lawrence, and then who else? But let's play this song.
And Donna's. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Hear you. Come on in. Dennis and Angela.
Oh, thank you.
This one. Dennis, you have to take a break and dance, right?
Oh, yeah, we're both right here. That's
one love, one heart. Let's get together and feel all right. Hear the children crying. Together and feel alright.
believe.
One love.
Yes, for Dennis and Angela, happy, happy anniversary. May God continue to bless you both and hope that you will be together for many, many more years. Good health.
My sentiments exactly. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I wish you well. Stay together forever.
Absolutely. Thanks again. Yes. Have a good one.
Thank you, Leo. Have a good one indeed.
Thank you so much.
And Audley, why don't you close it out for us now?
Okay. So that's as usual, just before I go, I'd just like to just say thanks for listening to the Blog Talk Cricket Show, of course. And each one, tell your friend. And remember, we're right here from 6 to 9 on Sundays. And the birthday hour is from 6:30 to 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. So give a shout out to all you who are listening from anywhere in Europe, London, wherever, and from the Caribbean, of course, and from the United States right here. Each one, tell one, okay? So this has been the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Join us next Sunday, God willing, when once again we'll be doing it all over. 6:30, Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Back to you, Leon.
Thank you so much. And we just want to welcome Jatin. Jatin, good evening to you, sir. How are you?
Good evening, everyone.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good.
Well.
You're doing okay? Well, we are waiting
yep.
for a special guest. He has everything ready
yes.
for us, but he has not arrived yet. So we are hopeful that he will be on in a short while. So anything from you, Jatin, before he comes on? We were talking
not
a little bit.
Much. There's a lot of things going on in the women cricket and ongoing India-Sri Lanka series. Those are the two things at the moment. Looks like Sri Lanka test will be over on third day, which is today. It's hard to believe.
And
30 wickets fall in a matter of just 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this has got to be world record. That both days of the first 2 days of test match, both teams are batting, which normally doesn't happen that way.
Yes.
And if you look at the 18 and 90s and even early 2000, I don't think I ever remember this kind of deal, like two teams both are batting on the same day. It is not a test cricket. It's usually inning last more than day or two. That's how it used to be. But these guys are not much putting any effort to be on the pitch. And that diminishes the value of test cricket. And because of that, I don't think fans can be excited when they declare the schedule of 5-day test and ask you to buy the ticket for the 5 days, and test match does not even last for 3 days. So what's the point of having tickets and make the plan to attend test? And that is what the fans are walking away from the test cricket at the moment. In India, it's like if you look at the crowd on day one, automatically crowd went down on day two. And I doubt it if they can get more crowd on third day, because everyone now knows picture is very clear, 429. It's an impossible target. And Sri Lanka's current performance in first test and this test does not offer any challenge or a good fight. So basically, a lot of fans will say, you know what, I'm not going for a couple of hours. What's the point of it? That this looks like a clear two-test series. India going to make it easily as the white was.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the sure.
Yes,
going on a World Cup, I was... Yes, go ahead, yeah.
No, before you go off of that, because we were following the Ranji Trophy and the team scored 769, right?
69. But don't get surprised
on that one. Wait a moment. Let me follow up with this, because, you know, there are much rumors about pitch. And pitch is flatbed. And these guys, like, say, everybody scored double figures except one guy who made not.
Yes. That is correct. But on the other side, in that particular first-class roundup, the bottom-line teams, there's a plenty of them, I will say. They are not performing at their best. And when they play the leading team or the top-ranked team, it's an odd matchup. And this is one of them where you can say 700-plus runs in a matter of just 2 days, it's too much, I will say. But if you look at these two teams, it looks to me the Nagaland, who is in fielding, does not have any challenge for the batting team. And that is what these huge scores are. And it happens. Again, the pitches are getting lower quality because of the number of games are played and don't have much time to prepare those pitches. That's one way. And there's only one game going on in the Ranji Trophy right now. Yeah, that's only one left right now. There is no other games because of the test matches ongoing. So it will be, I will say, the full round of games will start some point on Thursday or Friday this week, where we're going to have like almost more than a dozen games on the same day to start. But
okay.
I'm not sure what the motive behind this 769 and how long they will keep carry on this score with almost wickets fallen, already seven of them. I doubt it if they can keep continue. No, it's nine now. So it's basically...
Yeah, it's at the end of the second day. So usually, is it 4 days? Ranji Trophy match is 4 days, right?
Yep. So basically, I'm expecting they'll declare at the beginning of the third day and we'll try to win it, because one thing is for sure, the points get split if it is a tie or draw.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the lead in a first inning, the team who is taking the lead has some advantage in a points rather than equal points. I believe one or two extra points if you're leading at the end of the first inning from the both side. So you don't want this game go in a draw, because that's a huge disadvantage, because you are splitting points for nothing. So I'm in impression that they will definitely declare at the start of the third day and try to get them out at least once, so they can have at least one or two extra points rather than let it go draw.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really interesting game that went on in the week last week with Namibia and the United Arab Emirates in the ODIs. One team, Namibia made 206, but and following the game, I saw where they were 83 for 7. So I said, wow, so they're not going to do much at all. And they eventually ended up the match, ending up with 206 for 8. Then United Arab Emirates made their reply, and I started following it. They were 53 for 6. What's going on? And you know, they came back and they won the match. They came back and they won the match 201-7, winning in the 46th over. So these are the sort of battles that, you know, you really enjoy. It's like one team look as if they are down and out. They're going to be blown away. They recovered, make a very good score, something that they could almost defend, or you think you could defend. And then the other team in the reply, they look like they're being blown away too, because at 53-6, you would look at it and say, okay, they're not going to make it. But what happened? They came back, they recovered, and they scored 201-7. And of course, they won the 4 overs and four balls to spare. These are the sort of intriguing match that everybody would really enjoy.
It's not only that. I will say, if you tracking these games all over the world, all formats, the lower order batsmen are scoring more runs than the frontline batsmen. You see a lot of collapse and hard time for the batsman to stay at the wicket and score runs. And as soon as the all-rounder starts, they can change the whole game because they are not playing with that merit-based cricket. They turn into this thing as a T20 inning or sometimes the ODI inning, and that is where they are putting the runs. That's what happened in India and Sri Lanka in first days. Look at the two all-rounders put that big score after the initial collapse. And that was good enough score by the all-rounder, which can take care of the entire inning of the Sri Lanka, which is exactly happening in a second test. If you look at it, Ravi Pant and like a couple of other guys who are coming lower order after sixth position, I will say, there is a huge scoring boost for the team total. And that is the advantage going forward. And now a lot of teams has to rely on the all-rounders who are coming after the fall of 5 wickets. And if they can score runs, that is the bottom line. It's not about staying at the wicket. If they can do the quick fire, and if they can take those shots and put together a good score for the team, that's all it matters. And if you look at the overall, as I said, the average, the lower order batsmen are scoring more runs in almost every format, including in T20s. Lately, if you see, the batsmen are coming far and after position are actually the hard hitters and the big scorers compared to what they do at front. No doubt they take a chance to go with the front line to start the heavy scoring, but usually it's a balance off as soon as they bring the all-rounders into the inning.
Let me just announce, folks, that we have not made any contact with our guest yet. We're still holding for him and try to get him, but no answer from his phone. I don't know if he has problems getting in, but we are here waiting for you, Colin, and once you get this, make the necessary connections, you will be in. Go back to you then.
We are waiting on audio and video, both connection, either one. If it is connected, we can move on.
We can move on.
I wonder if Dennis want to bring us up to date with the score, because he's always a little ahead of me. If he's not there, I have 76-1. I have 76-1, 17.5 overs. I don't know what he has.
That is the correct score between Pakistan and Bangladesh.
Okay.
Dennis is still dancing, you know. That's what happened.
Yeah,
Dennis, I see on video. Dennis is there.
Oh, yeah, no, but he's dancing. It's his anniversary coming up, right? So, better sense. Okay, just let me just break and see if we have any news from Donna. I know she usually have a little birthday for us.
No, we can go over the women cricket. It was a very exciting game between India and West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
India did have upper hand initially when
exciting
they took all
you.
Those three early wickets.
My
and after that, I think fitness is exposed. And I can tell you,
the truth behind it. I believe that Indian coaching side figure out that there is a way to beat West Indies by fitness, and that's what this game is all about. If you look at after the third wicket fall, the two Indian batters did not go aggressive, but they slowed down and wanted to calm down everything possible. They wanted to last as long as they can, and they succeed. And by the time you can see the West Indies players were in trouble to stay on the field. And that was just beginning. And I will say, the way I look at it, about five players were almost down. You can see their body language. They are done for the day when they see that 300 total. And it did continue. No doubt they score 100, no loss for the opening pair. But that was again against the medium pace bowlers and the quick bowlers. But as soon as the spinners started, we see the collapse. Like 162 all out from 100, no loss. So there's like actual, in fact, they lost all 10 wickets for 60 runs.
Yes. 10
the reason for that, you can see the most of the batsmen had a hard time to move their feet. It's a fitness issue. They were either tired. Some of them were almost cramping. Some of them had a back issue. You can see when they don't move the feet. And I believe the West Indies started well. They beat two good teams at front, and all of a sudden, this was a winnable game to me, but they give up on fitness side. And on top of that, I believe the bowling change could have made a little bit different. When you see the number one batsman is batting well and want to hold on to it, her hand actually on the one side with the Smriti Mandhana, and then we had a new batsman coming in. At that point, they could have done a little bit better to keep the pressure rather than containing from the scoring. What they did on that situation is they did not increase the pressure and let it go. So that's a little bit tricky business there. But this ground was a heavy scoring ground because so far Hamilton is scoring almost 270 plus run almost every innings played out there. And when you are not making, means it's open and very clear statement that West Indies may not compete against the top ranked team, especially Australia. And the worst part for the fans, they are exposed against the spinner in this game. And now West Indies has to face two subcontinent teams, which is heavily loaded with the spinners. So it will depend on how they face the spinners for the remaining games will be the key. Absolutely, they have advantage to be in the top six teams. But as I said last week, the bottom two spots, I believe it's belong to Bangladesh and Pakistan by now. And then you have front runner already Australia. And then in between you have five teams looking for the three spots. So West Indies side, I will say it will heavily rely on how they do against Australia and the Pakistan. These are the two games will decide their situation for the playoffs.
They have to play Pakistan too? They played three. They have four left, right? Don't they have Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Australia? And, okay.
There is no Sri Lanka. It's a Pakistan.
No Sri Lanka. Pakistan, that's right. Pakistan, yes. Okay, Pakistan.
Yeah, Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. But
both teams are the slow bowlers and spin bowlers. Mm-hmm. Both are heavily equipped.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is how these all subcontinent teams are. They heavily rely on spinners, and that is what they expose against the India. They were okay against the medium pacers, but as soon as they bring all those four slow bowlers, and they collapse.
But Jatin, we were saying earlier on, West Indies' captain is missing. is missing. She's not scoring no runs, or no, has she been taking a bunch of wickets? She was the top all around years ago. I know she is a shadow of herself. That in Stephanie Taylor, and she can play spin. So,
well, as I said, it's overall is a fitness issue. I will not blame just Stephanie Taylor herself. She's a good athlete. Everyone has up and down in a game. It always happens. But then the fitness matters most, because when you're playing 50 overs, it's a whole day. You got to be on your feet for 8 hours. And this one came out as a testing, because the previous two games, West Indies batted first and they filled second.
Mm-hmm.
And they win it by low margin. But in this one, it's other way around. They had to fill first and came out to the bat second. And what happened is, when you are tear down and you see the wear out bodies, I will say, players, they lost the physical strength to be in the game. And that is what the suffering is. When they came out for the batting with the pads, they can't move fit, they can't run. And that's what happened. If you look at those all dismissals, outs out of 10, 6 of them, it's their own fault. The player played the wrong shot or did not move, whatever it is. But the body was not there with the movement. And that is what those 6 wickets are. It could have done better, actually. But again, now how they recharge their batteries, and typically they need to find this new solution. If they are fielding first, are they capable enough to run around to put like 250 runs on the board? Because running with the pads and gear is not easy. And you can see very clearly West Indies was upbeat. Fielding was extraordinary in the first 15, 20 overs. But as the game progressed, it was downscale. And by the time, if you look at the batting side, I believe only 2 players were able to take the quick singles. Rest of them like hesitant or wanted to go for the slow run, that sort of thing. And then normally this thing can kill if you are playing against the top-rated countries like Australia. The way I look at it right now at the moment in this particular World Cup is basically the fittest team you can find. And it will be the huge challenge, anyone facing Australia. It's not easy task, because they can field 50 overs, they can bat 50 overs, and they have the bowlers who can bowl 50 overs. And that is the strength going to take that kind of team to the all the way to the championship.
Jensen, I have to agree with you, because until I fell asleep watching that game, the body language, you can see like they conceded the match after looking at the score. When the Indians were going at a blinder, I mean, they were just hitting the ball. They couldn't stop. They could not stop the boundaries and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, we're not going to win this one. We can't make the runs. And, and like they become jaded and stuff like that. The whole body language on the field showed that for them it was over, for us, the West Indians. I agree with you 100%.
Look at this. He was upbeat initial 15 overs in the fielding. He was super excellent workout in the field.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you see the last 15 overs, I would say after 35, you can see he was like slow down, and you can feel like he's tired. And that is what exactly happened in batting too. She did okay for 8 overs with some little cramp and all those things. But then all of a sudden, you can see the dead end came out. She gave up because she wasn't able to continue. And once that process started, we have other players which is age is catching up and has some routine fitness issue, and is all has been exposed in this one. So what it will happen is, now I can tell you, any good teams watching this particular game, India-West Indies, they will go behind West Indies the other way around. Means they will start slow. They'll take more singles and doubles to tear you down. And eventually,
down the road, like maybe after 30 overs, they'll start putting the scores. And it will exactly going to work the other way. Now they will try to contain the initial because both opening batsmen are too good to score heavy runs on the quick bowlers. So now the team will come out with the strategy how to contain in a power play from the big boundaries. And if they can do it, then this West Indies team can be under pressure, which they don't want to be. So that's coming. And as I said, there's a Pakistan and Bangladesh. Both games will be very tricky because they play smart cricket. That team is not that heavy on strand. But don't forget, Pakistan can create upset against any team. They missed by what? Lost by 7 runs against South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They were up against India at one point. They were almost 6 wickets down. And they were on the advantage side, and all of a sudden they lost the momentum. And the same thing happened in batting. Their opening batsmen did okay, but once they got the first wicket, they collapsed. And so this Bangladesh is a very similar story ongoing against the New Zealand. They could have done it well, but they did not because it was a, I think, 27 or 26 over game because of the rain. And then they did not make something out of it. So it's like, I would say it is this World Cup is still wide open for the number 2 to 6 spot. And the West Indies has to come out with a good strategy and a good game plan to lift themselves from not losing too many games. Because you cannot afford 3 losses in this tournament. Because once you lose the 3 loss, you are out of playoff. And there is no position because the way the schedule is, top 4 teams will go in semifinal and play the final. That's how the style of this World Cup. So being at number 5, 6, 7, 8 is worth nothing in this tournament.
Okay, I have a little breaking news. It's not cricket, but I know we have fans here. We're on. Tom Brady unretires. So he decided to come out of retirement to play one more year for the Buccaneers. Yes, he said the GOAT is back. Tom Brady, and retired. He's back for the Buccaneers. Okay, back.
What's the incentive, oddly, for him to be back?
Look, he know right now that he's still better than most of the quarterbacks that are playing today. Mm. And to dingle the right amount of cash. And I think he's really interested in winning another Super Bowl ring. You know, the more you can win, the harder, the longer the record is going to stand for any quarterback to come and break that record. And it's not like they were beaten badly or anything like that. Like, you know, they had a bad season. No, they're right. I think they were in the battle, the last four. So, I think that gives the incentive to come. Of course, I think the biggest one is the show the cash. Show the cash and being out there, you know. I mean, when you're in the limelight,
I think he missed the limelight. I think he missed the limelight. But let me just pause for calls here because I think Donna may have some birthdays to mention. Oh, look who is here. Mr. McKenzie. Hey, see you on the radio.
I know. This is my joke. I just want to be as courteous as possible, very courteous, to tell you that I'm in the Oscar room with a new, what do you call it, hip, with a new hip. Right hip. So I'm sorry I can't see you guys later today on the radio, but I hope I see you
right
soon, okay?
But you can do the macaroni.
Right now. That voice is golden, man.
you can see the macaroni. You can do the macarena with that new hip. Thank you, Lord. We prayed for you, and he answers our prayer. Thank you. Good to hear from you, and hopefully.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, my brother.
Okay, we miss you.
I'll see you on the radio next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you on the radio and stay safe. God bless you.
All right. Good news.
Okay, we just have to say officially that we are going to get our guest again this evening. I haven't heard from him. I contacted him. He has all the necessary contacts and we still aren't able to get with him. But, Dennis, you're back with us? Are you? No. Well, gentlemen, let's talk.
Latest score 86 for 2 after 23 overs, 2 balls. 86 for 2.
86 for 2.
Bangladesh batting.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, why don't we touch the West Indies versus England? West Indies versus England. England scored 311 and 349 for 6. West Indies 375 and 147 for 4. England are excited about this draw, having lost a number of matches in the past months. They were pressing hard for a victory, which was not to be. And the guy who stood out for West Indies was Nkrumah Bonner. Folks, the new Sander Paul. He batted like a Trojan. He batted both innings and he batted, you know, one of the things that stood out for me in the second inning, why did not the captain review the LBW decision? Because clearly when I watched that, he was down the leg side. Anybody saw that match and can relate to that incident? Because he got struck on the pad. You're fighting to save a game. And you have, you know, reviews in a bunch. Why didn't you use one? And he was out down the leg side. I don't know if you saw the match, Rodley, but that's my take. Oh, if Jatin saw the match.
I watch bits and pieces when I'm at home, you know. Otherwise, you know, yeah. in the morning I could get to watch some, but not all.
You can go back anytime, and you can go back anytime and see the on YouTube. They're free to. You can see them. But other than that, your comments on the match. We heard the comments from Simmons that the pitch is not good. They should have better pitch that you give everybody an opportunity. But the fact is, I see, for instance, we had 311 and 311. You had 140 from Bairstow. You had 42 from Folks. Just slow down to the order and you have score 311. In that match, we have 2 wickets for Roach, 4 for Seals, 2 for Holder, 2 for Joseph. And again, I question why they're not using Joseph earlier in the match. I don't know. Earlier, with his pace, he's the fastest of the bunch. I know Seals is exciting, but I think that he should have been given the ball before. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I figured that way. Turning to the second innings, we have a 55. Well, Bradford score 55 and 35 from Campbell. Then we have, let's see, who all made runs. We had 123 from Bonner, and he batted for 355 deliveries, 12 for 16s. He had an average of a strike rate of 34.55, but he was not, well, he wasn't the slowest. Well, Holder was, a lot of the batsmen were under 40. A lot of batsmen. The only batsman over 40 was Blackwood, and he didn't last long. So, in the second innings now, England, well, who got wickets? You got 2 wickets to Stokes, 1 to Wood, and Wood has been out, and 2 to Overton, and 1 to, and 2 to Wokes. West Indies in the air. Well, England, who scored runs? 121 from Crawley, got 121, that's a century, and of course, Root got 109, and you had a good 37 from Lawrence, and that's all she wrote, 349 votes. Just one wicket take haul, and two wickets to Roach, none for Seals, one for Holder, and three for Joseph. So I said thought it was two for Seals. Seals had gotten wicket, but he didn't get any in the second innings. He got five wickets, four wickets then, and Joseph got three. So go ahead, you make your point.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I don't know if it's a special plan or whatsoever, but Joseph has always been given the ball as the fourth bowler. And then there are a lot of commentators, not necessarily the ones that are doing live commentary, but, you know, sports people were ready to tell you about, Joseph has not been taking wickets. But the question should be asked, has he been given the new ball? Has he ever been given the new ball? Because I agree, Roach, you need to have Roach here to start. He always, you know, try and get the breakthrough, and most of the time he does get the breakthrough. But it's like it's a one way. The program is already worked out. No, yeah. Joseph is going to be the fourth bowler, right? All right. What about, as Leon pointed out, his pace is faster than all the rest. Give him the brand new ball with the shine, and well, if it doesn't work out, you resort to prior position. But then you have not even tried him. Time he's toiling away as a number four bowler. So there should be no space for criticism, really. No, there shouldn't. And it's not like the days when you have the four equally qualified pace bowler, the four-prong pace attack. And, you know, by the time the fourth bowler come on, sometime the match is almost done, you know? So quite likely when Joseph come on, he's going to toil more because he's not been given a touch of the cherry, as you'd call it, the red ball. So that's one thing. Going on further. Oh, my thing just slipped here. I know something came up here. I had the thing before me, but something came up on a computer and just blocked it. Go ahead, because my thing just disappeared off the screen.
Dennis has left us too, right? Let me see if Dennis is back with us. No, I'm trying. Okay, well,
I'm here.
Yeah, we are trying to call a few. Can you fill in anything there with what Audley's saying? I'm trying to establish a contact here in the meantime.
I didn't get a chance to say anything on the women's West Indies women's last match there. I heard your comments. I was disappointed that the ladies did not seem as if they had any variation in their bowling. When I say variation, it was a straight long up most of the time. There were no a slower one, a quicker one, something different when the batsmen are seeing, the batters, I should say, are seeing it as cleanly as the Indian women were seeing these. And there was just no variation in pace or tempo or, you know, delivery. And that showed that they were not thinking. And, of course, the captain. But I try not to be too critical of the performance because I recognize that they are still young and inexperienced in terms of appearances. And so I will look past that and hope that they learned a lesson. Jatin had mentioned the fact that you could see the shoulders drop with all those boundaries going to the rope after those long ops were being bowled. Now, if we come to the West Indian men, I heard the comments from Leon regarding the coaches, West Indian coaches' criticism of the pitch. I don't understand why we're having so much focus on the pitch when, in fact, both teams came with their highest and their best qualified players. Both teams are prepared to play on the same wicket. Why is it that we are now demanding that wicket perform in such a fashion? If we're going to be doing that, then okay, the West Indians will prepare a wicket that will suit their bowlers. And when they go to England, it will be the reverse, and Australia will be the reverse. So in the long run, the game of cricket will be spoiled by the fact that wickets may be prepared for your specific team. The pitch, the wicket as we see it now, or pitches if you wish, are what they are, and both teams have the same option. And this is why I cannot understand why, you know, the ICC referee has decided that he has to downgrade the Royal Pindi pitch, because clearly the batters did their thing. It was then up to the bowlers to come in and put their emphasis on the match. If they failed to do so because the batters were better, well, that is the game of cricket. We can't start criticizing pitches, especially as they're not pitches that you could see was doing bad things. They were just doing what they were inclined to do. And the West Indian batters in the second innings, the men in the test match, I noticed how extraordinary they were in attempting to play the spin bowler of Jack Leach. You know, it was remarkable and sometimes painful to watch, because I think I saw somebody being literally four men around the bat, and you're still trying with all desperation to play a forward defensive shot. And of course, the inevitable happens. It was placed right in the hands of the fielders. We need to get back to the drawing board when it comes to spin bowling, and we're not doing such a good. That's what our coach should be focusing, not on the pitch itself. Leon, it's back to you if you're there. And I think Donna was waiting on
what we're going to be hearing from the man who was on the spot and was made in the news media around the world. Virgil Francis, come on in.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Francis. Good afternoon to all the panelists, and good evening to all the listeners all over the world.
Yeah. You know a guy by the name of Tintin?
Gentin.
Tintin.
Tintin?
Yes.
Did I meet him?
Did you know him? You know him, but I'm
not.
That's his nickname.
No, I'm not too sure. No, Tintin,
right.
Not too sure. No.
Okay. So tell us from you are in the manager's corner.
No, the only manager West Indies I think need is that same person, your friend there, what's his name again?
Hugo?
He sounds like he'd be a good He sounds like he'd be a real when I hear him talk, he said he's no kind of he don't stick for no kind of crap. And that would be the kind of manager I think West Indies would really want. But, I mean, I enjoy the game itself because I was there watching cricket. That it reminded me about 4 years ago when I was home here watching the same game against England, and the same thing. We end up with a draw, and that one was the best draw match I ever seen. We wanted that one, but this one was very, very shaky. I mean, I just don't understand how these guys bat, man. It just, even when the second innings, the first thing when West Indies was in, after the guy made his 100, you think the guy would have pushed on to get more runs? All they're doing is playing them, blocking ball. And then all of a sudden now, single don't want to take the single because he's like, for taking a guy that India that was batting good.
Pramod.
Yes, and he was batting good. So I can't see how you was protecting him. And then after you out now, who Pramod have to face? The same person that he was protecting.
Yes.
I don't understand because we could have get at, look, you reach 100, I think we bypassed that one. We should have get a lot more, even 30 more runs we should have get. Just start a hit ball for we to get run and take the single, go back and forth because this guy was in there batting good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Roach, yeah, sorry, Roach, stand up good and then the other guy come in and stand up good too, you know, so it's...
Yeah, yeah. But let's also back to Hugo.
Yes.
If you knew who Hugo's father, which is my mentor, he played was 10 for St. John's. That man is a cricket brain. Leo Gore, one of the greatest persons I've ever met in my life, Leo Gore. And that's why I regard him as my
mentor. You know, let me give you a story about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, Hugo must have inherited some of his talents. His father is knowledgeable. He made a 200 against Sinkett. You weren't born yet, Virgil. That he was hitting the bar over recreation grounds.
Wow.
Every angle. In the air, underground, and the best strike I've seen him done was to give a return catch. And you know what the guy did? The guy ran from trying to catch that. He get out of the way. He didn't want to take that because it was so powerful. One of the hardest hitters of the ball, Leo Gore. Go. Continue.
Let me tell you something. I went to the game on Tuesday. Then while I was watching the game, I was on the north stand. While I was watching the game, I sent a message to Richardson, which he replied to me later in the afternoon. I also sent one to Andy Roberts. And then about an hour after, he called me. And he asked me, where am I? I said, I'm here watching the game. And he cursed me because he said he can't believe I come and did not call him, right? So I said, like, you know, I'm just hoping watching. But he told me to come and see him in the afternoon. I came and see him. He gave me some ticket and tell me, like, I expected just ticket to go inside the ground, but it was to go in the box with them. I didn't really want to go because I like to be on the outside, sir. But then my cousin tell me, you know, go. And when I went up there, and I mean, because I know up the side kind of a little bit boring and all that kind of stuff, I can't hear me, but I was glad that I did it, man, because who I meet inside there, when I hear the guy say, oh, this is Hugo or whatever, they remember, you always talk about him, and a couple of other guys was inside. The other person I was telling you about is one of the Richardson, this other, not Richie Richardson, but the Richardson cousin, the one that you know that play football and cricket for Antigua.
Oh, Evie Richardson. Evie,
yes,
Evie Richardson.
He was there, and his older brother. The one,
yes,
I was saying,
yes.
Warren, all of them was there. So,
okay.
You know, I feel so comfortable inside there, man, and, like, it was real nice.
You were in good company.
It was real nice when I was inside there with all of them. You know, so that's why I went there on the... The Wednesday and the Thursday.
Yeah.
I was inside there with all of them. And so, some of the people that I met inside there, which was really nice, you know. So, I mean, but everybody was... Good thing I was there because I hear a lot of story about things that happen with these guys when they're playing and all this kind of stuff. So those are the things I enjoy, especially with Roberts and even when they was playing Combine Island Cricket. You know, you get to hear all these nice stories, man. So, which was real good.
Yeah, hold on a while because we have Donna here. I'm trying to get her in, and we have Simon. So let's get Donna first. Donna, come on in if that's your number, 718. Donna, her hand isn't up. So why don't we take on Simon? And Simon, come on in, sir.
And a very good evening to you, Mr. President. And I'm going to say also good evening to Dennis, Audley,
good evening, sir.
Cardinal, good evening. Virgil, good evening. I'm so happy to hear you are with those players. Mr. Patel, good evening to you and Jetner, Ivor Henry, Mr. McKenzie, and all our faithful listeners all over the world. I want to say a very hearty good evening to everyone. Pleasure to be on the show once more. With
Mertry.
Who know the game so well and love the game almost as much as I do. Hope everyone had a wonderful week last week, and we're looking forward to a much better week this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, Merchant is also with us. Let's see if she's still with us. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she's with us.
And a good evening to you.
Oh, I'm happy I'm on live because I actually got dropped and I came back in. So you saw my hello. Okay.
I did get dropped too and I came back. And Dennis did get dropped, but we're back on stream again.
You know, we can't do without you, Audley. You know that. We can't do without you.
Oh, a lot of time I'm not here and the game went, the show went on well.
Okay, how about your question for the panelists, Simon?
I thought you were discussing with Virgil about the teams and all that. Okay.
Yes,
I didn't want to cut Virgil off.
Virgil, weren't you finished? I thought you were. You
I don't want
to
cut him off.
No, I'm good.
Come on.
Because you were telling us about the cricketers and all those things, how happy you were to be with them.
My question to you, let me take my question first. Who was in Antigua and sporting a U.S. helmet with two flags, an Antigua flag and a U.S. flag? Who was in Antigua sporting those?
I would have to say Virgil Francis.
Wrong answer. Right,
go, go to the head of the line.
Head of the club. Okay.
I would have to say, couldn't be anyone else but Virgil Francis.
Yes, he was there, and we promote his display. The only thing he didn't have on that flag was the cricket show underneath that sticker.
But I'm sure he told a lot of people about it.
He said he was promoting to Viv. You know, Viv's birthday was last week, the 7th.
Okay,
right?
And he would tell them to listen to us on Sundays. Yeah.
Okay, Virgil, any comments?
No, I'm just listening now. Who are you? I give some people some information to come on the show. One guy told me, it was so funny, I was talking, the same guy that made a sign for me. He was from Guyana, and he lived in Antigua for a long time. So he was telling me, he used to play cricket with Carl Hooper and all this kind of stuff. And so I give him that information because he started asking a question and some question I couldn't even answer, man. And then he started giving me the answer. So I said, you're the right person to come on the show, man, because he have a lot of knowledge about and a lot of, he remember a lot of things from a long time ago with almost all his stats with all his cricketers, man. So before I left, I'm going to see him and say, let him know he got a call in one day on the show.
Yeah, that was good. You're promoting our show all over the Caribbean. That's good, Virgil. Very good of you.
Okay, Simon, your question?
Question for the panelists tonight. I didn't hear Mr. Patel. Is he with us?
We're trying to monitor.
Yes, I'm here.
Because I didn't hear him. I didn't hear him tonight. Okay, question for the night is, we had a player called Javed Meander. My first part of the question is, what country did he play for? And tell me how many test appearances he made. I'm talking about test now, not county cricket. Test cricket. How many test appearances did Meander make? And which country did he play for?
And he had 120.
Pakistan and 124.
Oh, I said 125.
Okay.
No, 124.
Let's hear what Virgil would say. Virgil knows all the answers to these things.
Yeah, to answer quicker than I did.
Virgil, come in.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. I was just away from the phone a little while ago. He said Javed Meander.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Which country he played for and how many tests appearances he made. Test cricket now, not county. Test cricket.
How many runs?
Mm-hmm. No, how many test cricket?
How many
test?
How many test cricket did he play?
Right, in his career.
How many test matches?
Yeah. Pakistan, now it's 85.
Okay, all right. That's good. And let's go down the panel. I didn't hear from Mr. McKenzie.
No, Mr. McKenzie.
And what about our good buddy there? Ivo is not with us either?
No, he's not on.
No.
And Cardinal?
No.
I know Dennis must be there. Where's Dennis?
I saw him here.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's
no
your
answer,
Dennis?
I would say 95, and he plays for Pakistan.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And Leon, you gave your answer?
Yeah, I said 125 in Pakistan.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else on the panel? Did I leave anybody else?
I didn't. So Mr. Patel says 124, Leon says 125. I'm going to go right in between them, 124 and a half.
It's a 124, period.
You can't, you can't play half a test.
I go with Mr. Patel, 124.
Okay. That's it, Mr. President. Could I reveal the answer?
Sure.
Are you ready? Okay. Yeah. My cricket book here tells me the man known as Javed Meander played for Pakistan. I don't know where he was born, but he played for Pakistan. And he appeared in 124 tests. 124 tests.
Mm-hmm.
Full career.
Oh, my goodness.
124 tests, and he played for Pakistan.
Mr. Patel has...
There's a reason why I remember this number.
Okay.
Sunil Gavaskar entered in international cricket way back in 1971. I don't think any West Indies will say, we don't know. He made that international cricket in West Indies.
Oh,
yes,
he gave
until 1987, which was actually the fourth World Cup and first one in India when the Gavaskar retired from international cricket. And at that point, he made the test 125. And he voluntarily retired from test cricket. It wasn't forced. It wasn't somebody was asking for him, but he decided to go with the good record. Even he was playing good, like Sachin Tendulkar, he walked away with the 125 mark.
Okay.
And going back to Javed Meander, that's how this India and Pakistan cricket goes along when competition comes. Javed Meander started in 76 after he won first World Cup.
Yeah.
And then when the Gavaskar was retired, the Javed Meander in Pakistan was ambitious to break that 125 record to make sure that Meander plays 126 days to make it sure that in Asian continent, he is a player who played more tests than anybody else during that time. But unfortunately, Javed Meander at one point retired from international cricket, if you do the research. He came back to prove it and break a couple of records, but did not last. And eventually, he was a one sort when he was out of team. And that is the reason I remember they chased the Gavaskar's record, but they never made it. And now it's not a story about 124 tests. We got plenty of players who has played more tests than those times.
Oh, yeah.
90s.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's just that, you know, I always said to the on the panel, on the show, I'm so happy on the show. I learned so much from you men who know the game so well. And thanks for your answers. And everybody, they were close by. They were very close, 125, 124, 85 and all that. They were close enough. So we learned something tonight. Okay, so the question for me now, who's going to give me the question? Virgin?
Yes. Dennis.
Virgil is going to give me a very hard question. Like how many players came from Antigua? A very hard question. How many test players came from Antigua?
Simon wants to
I know Virgil will give me a tough one.
Let me see if he's with us, because in Antigua you can't keep still, you know. He has to be moving. Okay, why don't you do it? And there's so many beaches.
I heard 365. That's what I heard.
That's not no joke, and I have never been to all of them.
I heard that when I was going to school. I think I was in the third grade when they said that. And so I went there and I tried to count them, but I ran out of numbers. I couldn't count so high. I was just in the third grade. I couldn't count up to 300.
Dennis, give him a question for me, please, at the top of your head.
We can ask Simon how many ODI matches did Javed Meander play?
Ooh.
Okay. If he played 124 tests, I would cut it in half. I would say 80.
No, not you. Very cold, Simon. Very cold with that answer.
2-8 is 160 and a horn. I forgot it. Oh, no. Sorry. 125.
Yeah, I get it.
So,
well,
in fact, he played more ODI than the test.
Okay. I didn't know that.
It's about 225. How about that? I give you a clue.
Okay.
Well,
I start for it. I know you know your game, Mr. Patel. You know
and,
the game.
And that's usually the case, Simon, because there's only one person that plays 200 test matches. Others play 160-odd and so forth. Like. So
yes,
you find that a player that plays so much test matches is going to play more ODIs.
Yeah, because that player, we usually call him Virgil Francis, but his real name is Tendulkar.
And you know who is setting the record now, Simon?
Hello?
If you look at the world cricket, there are only two cricketers who is actively playing currently in the international cricket and who is behind Tendulkar. Is one of them is Anderson from England. He has played 169 or 68 something. But I don't think he's going to play about 10 more series. I don't think he's going to last long that. And then only other player who is active behind it is, I believe, Joe Root. But I think Joe Root, when he started West Indies, he was about 110 or 111 test match. So he has a long way to go. If someone has to break the record of 200 test match, which is only one player, Tendulkar out there.
Yeah, Tendulkar. How old is the Anderson? How old is he?
30s.
Roughly.
Anderson, 37.
He's close to 40
yeah,
now.
Yeah, 37.
Okay, so he doesn't have much longer to go
then.
He's
very close to 40. I think he's a 39 up. The 39 birthday was last year under Corona.
Okay.
So I believe he's very close to 40 years of age. And as a fast bowler, I don't think he can...
It can't go much further.
A couple of years. Yeah.
I understand you. You know, you know your cricket, Mr. Patel. I must tell you that. You know the game.
Leon, I have the correct answer. Jatin was close, but he actually played 233 ODIs.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Question for panelists. Did me and Dad retire after the 75 World Cup when Roberts and Murray fought the progress towards the finals?
I think he retired.
No, wait a minute. No, you are doing something different here.
Did he retire after that partnership that they almost win and then Roberts and Murray batted for a long time and saved the match and win for West Indies.
Is it you're talking World Cup or what?
World Cup. World Cup 75.
No, 75. Jagmeada did not play 1975.
Okay.
He played in the 80s.
Played in the 80s. That he was in the World Cup.
No, wait a minute. He was, hold on one second, if I remember right. He started his career with the World Cup.
Yeah,
he was part of it. He was part of it, 100%. He started that World Cup in 75 as a rookie. He has not played any international cricket. Just like in 92 World Cup, they had Injimam Ul Haq, Wasim Akram, and there was a third player. They were like very fresh players to the international cricket, and that was how the Pakistan showdown was. So in 75, yes, Miandas was part of the team, and he did play against this West Indian mighty team. I know that.
Well, he was playing in 85, 86. Because he played for Pakistan when Pakistan toured Sri Lanka.
Okay. Gentlemen, just to switch the conversation a little before we come off the West Indies. Would you drop anyone from the West Indies team for the second test, which starts in Barbados on Wednesday? Anybody?
Yeah, I would.
Who will replace?
I would.
this is a really great question. If you drop somebody, who do you replace?
I mean to me,
the whole squad right now, it doesn't matter what you pick, 11 out of those 15 or 20 you have, they're going to perform the same. So what big deal here to change?
Okay. No, I'm joking. I think we should drop Brooks and bring in either Reefer or one of the other guys who showed promise, because it's time we start making these guys work for their position in the side and not just think that they have an automatic berth. So I would definitely drop Shamar Brooks and bring in Reefer. Give him a shot.
Okay. Well, how about
and Roger
about,
and there,
why not Kyle Mears? Why not Kyle Mears? Because Mears is also a bowler.
Mears is going to be in Blackwood.
Yeah, Blackwood didn't do anything much in these two innings, but I don't know.
I'm surprised that Audley didn't call me and give me the update. He always does call me every night at 8 o'clock and give me the update. I'm surprised he didn't call me and let me know. So I said I have to wait until Sunday, get it from the
Forgive me, Mr. Simon. These days I've been, sometimes I don't know my head from my foot. Sometimes. Sorry about that.
That happens when you're watching West Indies game. You don't even know your head from your foot, so I can understand.
Did you see the match?
Yes, I was there every day.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Joe Root has a good chance of equaling Tendulkar, or at least be very close with us. Presently, he has played 115 test matches, and he's only 31. December, he'll be 32. So I think he's got a good chance of getting up there. Anderson, definitely no, because Jensen pointed out already, he's 39. July, he'll be 40. So as a fast bowler, you know, he's not going to continue for much longer, or if any more at all, because England making some moves, right? So I think Tendulkar's record is going to be threatened only by Joe Root. Once I thought Virat Kohli would have done it, but now with the rotation system they're having going along, and then, you know, I don't think he's going to have a chance to do that, although, you know, the special... Just like the time when I remember the conversation we had here on the cricket show when Tendulkar was approaching, it was in the 190s, and, you know, somebody, panelists were saying he'll never play 200. I said, don't worry about that. They'll arrange it because of the prestige to know that my country, the first player ever to play 200 test matches will... And the West Indies, our team were the lambs to the slaughter, because special arrangement was made for West Indies tour India, and with the two test matches, and that's when he completed his 200 test matches and retired after that. So it's going to be hard, as I said, Joe Root, but I don't know if they're going to have enough time. He's young enough, and if he continues to play, I think he's the one with the best chance.
How about the opener, Campbell? Is Campbell good enough to retain his position?
Oh yeah, I mean opening position. Yeah. The opening position with Campbell, he and if you put on 80-yard runs, you know, and you still have the new ball and things like that. Even if you personally did not make a half century, I think they deserve to be there again.
But people are questioning. Hold on a moment. People are questioning the way he got dismissed in the second inning, so that he played a rash stroke when he was not necessary. We can never have surpassed the total, and he should be playing more assured. So I don't know.
You know what I've noticed, Leon? Is that Brathwaite
is playing like Campbell, and Campbell is playing more like Ratchet.
Exactly, yes.
You know, so I don't know if there's a plan for him to stay there and bat, and like allow the rest of players to bat around him until, let's say, Banner, but he and Banner cannot bat together. Unless once Banner get in there, then he would have to change his gears if they should meet together. Because Banner definitely is the person who, as I said, he's the right-handed Chander Paul for the team right now. And I don't think they should urge him to change to play another way away from what he's playing right now, because it's working for him, it's working for the team. And whenever we are in trouble nowadays, at least for a couple of few matches now, Bonner is there and he's doing his thing. So I think it should stay that way. But I think, Brooks did not do anything much in this game. But it's hard to just drop.
And Blackwood neither.
Right. But it's hard to drop. Yes, it's hard to drop a person for one match. You know, after it's not like you have been given an extended run and you have been feeling. I think they deserve to go back and play again. And
correction.
Is it a two-match series or a three? Three matches.
Give a chance for
the next one. Yeah, that's 3 months serious. So give him a chance for the next one. But yeah.
Did he not get selected for the last test tour we did within Sri Lanka?
Yes. He did.
Brooks?
And
am I wrong or did he not?
Is it Brooks or Blackwood? We're talking about Blackwood.
I know Kyle Mears played in that series.
Okay,
and So I would have to look it up. As I tell you, nowadays I just have to look up everything nowadays.
me too.
But yeah, because you didn't film in on the West Indies England tour.
Yeah.
I would love to see Mayers and Reefer in the side. You know, they're gonna add some additional in your face bowling.
As all rounders. Yeah.
Yes, in your face. So that they can always be, you know, nagging length and just make those guys, you know, have to take the time and at least be cautious rather than score so rapidly. But nevertheless, you just want to let the folks know that it's Wednesday. The next match is going to be played in Barbados and then the following one will be played in Grenada. So that's it. Okay.
And we are inside the Lawrence Jagero hour as of 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It's now 8 minutes after 8. We're inside the Lawrence Jagero hour. And, you know, last week he was the 48th anniversary of him making that 302 in Barbados. 48 years. Can you just imagine? Wow. That is
I heard during the week a statement by by Rowe and saying he was more talented than Sir Viv. Anybody endorse that or in agreement with that? That statement?
I'm not in agreement with anything like that. Everybody have their time. If you're going to talk about style and whatever, you talk about Jagger. If you talk about accomplishment, got to be Sir Viv. You know, I mean, Jagger has some records, yes, of course, and it may never be broken. But when you're not going to talk about people having fear and have bowlers having nightmare, I don't know if you could say the same thing of bowlers having nightmare to meet Jagger, because he's a stroke player. We know that what he could do, but then he was sick. Most of the time, somebody that develops an allergy for grass that he has to play on. It wasn't his fault, you know. But no, I would never agree with that statement.
It's cool. Could you give us a score? Anyone?
I check on the score. 149 for 2 in the 36th over. But
149, 200.
Go ahead. I have 146. 146 for two now in the 36th over.
No. Okay. No, I have 149 for two in the 36.1 over. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Small. Going back, Leon, going back to the test match, we're discussing Mayers. Mayers was omitted from the last 11. He didn't play in that match.
No.
Okay.
No, but I'm saying,
No, you asked about the previous series, and that's why I asked. Mm-hmm. I know he was not in this one. I know for sure about this one.
But I'm saying bringing him back and bring back Rifa. Rifa had a good knock against them in the present 11, and he batted stubbornly and intelligently, and just about played the ball on his merit, and he got the runs. He got a century, which was to be rewarded by his inclusion. I think either Blackwood or Brooks should make way for Rifa. But I would love to see
my thing is that I don't think they should start to chop and change, you know, just because of one match. If it happened again, then you definitely have to bring down the anvil somewhere.
I understand that. But question to you, what has Blackwood done for us lately? You tell me. He hasn't lighted the world on fire, you know, so...
Reefer? Did you say Reefer, Leon?
No.
Reefer
batted well in the present 11, and I'm suggesting that we replace him with Blackwood, and Mays come in for Brooks. That's my changes for Barbados. I don't know if they're going to retain the spinner and use Warrington in Barbados. So.
Why would they do that? You're talking about replace Virasamy?
Yeah, Permal.
Replace him with Warrington.
Jamal Warrington.
But why would you? I mean, are you saying that Permal did not bowl well enough to retain his spot?
You got to watch and see. Did he make any trouble those batsmen anyway at all? Anytime you've seen him penetrate, he looked like he can't even pass the bat.
I can tell him myself, no, he did not bowl gold. Period.
He didn't?
And you're telling us from your vantage point in the bath.
I was kind of disappointed in his performance. I hope if he get another play, he can perform a lot better. But, I mean, he did. I would have preferred to see... they didn't pick Akeem, so I prefer to see Chase is there, something like that, because at least you can get something. You can get batting from Chase, and you'll get wicket from Chase, too. So, but he didn't really perform. I mean, really disappoint me, but I just hope something else can come up for him. Honest. Hope he get a second chance. He can... prove himself, I'll do it better, you know, but, I mean, no, he didn't show me nothing to say I would have wanted him next test match, but you have to give him a chance still.
Can someone check and see the West Indies and announce the team, because if he's going to play Wednesday, they're going to play Wednesday. It's about time if they make any changes, they announce it by now, wouldn't they? But nevertheless.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Not. I think he's still going to play. He can't just give him one game, because sometimes when it's not your day, it's just not your day. You know, so I just hope next game he gets, he can revive himself with that, man, because, you know, when you get a chance, man, you're trying your best to do all kind of stuff, and that sometimes things just go wrong because you want to perform really good, and sometimes things just go opposite for you. So I just hope he can do better, but, I mean... he didn't impress me on this test match, but I just hope he can do better if he gets a chance in the next one.
From the vantage point of 007.
The press bars are in the bar.
Yes, in the press.
You know something? Let me tell you something. The English crowd that was there, right? They love to come to Antigua. They don't want to go nowhere. Half of them don't want to go nowhere. They're going back home, right? Because they always come to Antigua. And I tell you, it is one of the most entertainment cricket followers you can see anywhere in the world. These guys sing. One time they keep on singing for about 45, almost 45 minutes or nonstop. Every time they have a song for each one of the players. When Ben Stoke was there batting, when Joe Wood was there batting, started singing about song about Joe Wood when he make his 100. These guys keep you entertaining from the start of the game until the end of the game, man. One of the most wonderful. It is anyway they playing cricket. You want to be in the crowd, man. Cause them guys just keep you on your toes, man. Real, real, real nice group of set of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna tell you that I went to Edgbaston, and they had some dressed in sailor outfit, and they had must be 3 cases of beer, man, and they never were without beer in their hand, and they were singing against Australia, singing England versus Australia. Man, they make it. I know the feeling. I know the feeling you experienced, Virgil.
They call it the Bami Army.
Bami Army.
Where we come from, who we are, and whatever. Man, you just enjoy them, guys. It's one of the best crowd that follow any cricket anywhere around you. I always enjoy those guys, man.
Man, if they were at the recreation grounds, I know they'd bring the house. Because they were more compact. My goodness, I remember they did that some years ago in Antigua. Oh, that was entertaining. Yes, indeed. So, folks, let me have a look at Pakistan versus Australia. Australia now scoring in the second test, 505 for 8. The last test match is a bunch of runs was scored then, Jatin. What happened to that pitch? Is it not a feather bed? Jatin?
Well, right now, everywhere when the performance goes down or something happens, even the issue of fitness or the work overload, or they're playing too many games, or the pitch has not been well prepared in terms of time, all blame goes to the pitch. And now this is very common, whether you look into Pakistan, look into the India, there is a normal blaming finger pointing at the pitch preparation. But then, honestly speaking, pitch is the same for the both teams. And how come one team is performing and other team is blaming that pitch is the issue? I don't buy that. You both got the same pitch.
And when you have the coach chiming in as well, you make it even worse.
I mean, coach is supposed not to point a finger on groundsmen or pitch curators, I will say.
Right.
Leave them alone. Coach's job is to deal with the team. Right.
When pitches
are made with to have a good game, it doesn't matter. But then there's a lot of other factors can impact the pitch performance. And when it does, just like old days of cricket, the team mm-hmm. has to deal with it. You mm-hmm. need to have the players who can manage and stay at the wicket and score runs or defend the total, either one.
Yes.
But hasn't it been the same over the years? Because even in the Caribbean, everybody know that when you go to India, in Queen's Park, it was a sinner's paradise, right? You're going to tell them that it wasn't prepared specially for that. When you go to Barbados, it's a deadly pace pitch, right? Sabina Park was also known for that as well, because now they're complaining, oh, Sabina is so flat and things, you know, it used to be very fast and things. So this is something that has been done by various countries. They're going to prepare the pitch according to their strengths. Years ago when India has no fast bowlers, you go to India, the pitches were prepared for the spinners. The quartet of spinners and Madan Lal and the guys would come and bowl a couple of overs and then hand over to the spinners. So you think they're going to prepare pitch for pace bowlers? I mean, it's nothing new, so why cry about it? Back to you.
And there is no standard in terms of the ICC, like you need to make certain type of pitch.
Right.
For the entire cricket history, for almost 200 years now, the home team dictates the term, how they want to prepare the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to ask for the visitor how to make it or what kind of surface they like to play on. And it's been running for 2 centuries now. Why these people have started trying to talk about the pitch? The only concern I see lately is they are not having enough time to prepare pitch well, that's for sure, because there are too many games are being played on these surfaces compared to past. That one may be the excuse. But other than that, I don't see a big difference. When the quality of cricket is going down, why everyone is putting finger on the pitch itself?
But, Leon, we don't... When we had Mr. Chambers here, I think, was it Mr. Chambers who prepared those wickets that we discussed previously, or was it
the other gentleman?
Sam is a curator from Jamaica. Right. Remember when we had him here on this Cricket Show program, he said that he prepared a wicket and he did not ever think in terms of I'm preparing a wicket for A, B, or C. I prepare a wicket and I give them that wicket and that's what they play on. So I don't understand that there is something extraordinary, special that they have to do to prepare it for one particular bowling type or batting type. I think it's just excuses that's being used by failed batters and failed coaches. I honestly do. I mean, both teams have the same opportunity to perform on the same pitch. So what does it matter what it's like? You both have the same. You come prepared with, you know, the cream of your island or your nation. And these guys should know what it's all about. They're professionals. Back to you,
Leon.
I think the difference is that sometimes because of the bowler that they know they have, they'll leave some more green on the top, you know, to favor certain. And I'm saying nothing is wrong with it, because your fast bowlers are what could exploit the same situation. It's not that you're going to use it and they're not going to use it too, you know.
Exactly.
But you know what the greatest fast bowler said, and he was saying that at the game too. He said these guys is not bending the back enough.
Andy Roberts.
That's what he was saying. But Mr. Francis, let me give you a joke. What they was giving me about a shell shield. After West, this is Hugo was telling us that after West Indies came back from India, they went and played against Guyana, and Roberts was letting off. And I think he had a couple of wickets or whatever. Then someone was saying Clive Light didn't want to come in and bat because Roberts was letting off, really letting the shot. But so when he comes in to bat now, he was doing the same thing. And Viv Richards went up to Andy Roberts and said, remember, we just came back from the tour, so ease up on him. They said, Andy Roberts looked at Viv Richards and said, you go back in the dressing room, put on clothes, and come back out here and bat. That means he didn't care who is it batting, he's bowling the way he wants to bowl.
Yeah,
and as the Viv Richards turned his back, I went out and didn't say another word to him. You know, that was some nice talk. But he was saying that these guys don't bend the back enough, man. They need to put in. You get out what you put in, but these guys didn't really put in enough into it. Even some of the pitches really dead because this guy, I mean, even recreation ground. We used a recreation ground dead pitch until there was so much draw game until I can't remember when it was the first win that they have at recreation ground. But the keeper, when I went there and watched some game when I was small, the keeper was collecting the ball above his head. Now, the keeper is collecting the ball below his waist height and below his waist. So probably this guy's not putting in enough. I mean, when I was watching the English bowler bowling, and guys were bowling a lot of short ball. When we go into bat, I mean, we go into bowl, we're not bowling short ball. Then guys set us up, and instead of we try to now and then bowl a short ball, no, we're not doing that, you know. So then guys not really putting in. I see when Ben Stoke bowl, he put in a lot into his bowling. But all guys in them, I don't know. They just run up and let off the ball.
But Virgil,
so
you
got to put
Dennis
a lot into it when you're bowling.
You saw Dennis Lilly at Recreation Grounds, and he bounced the ball steep. And I saw Andy Robert bowling to Maurice Foster in Recreation Ground, and he bowled a cappy bouncer ball. I tell you, that he could bounce that ball on any kind of flatbed. So
you know, you got to put it into it. I mean, the keeper used to keep a lot further than what they keep now, and the ball flying off. All you can see, Jeffrey Dujan, I think David Murray, was just jumping up, taking ball up Murray's head all the time. Winston Davis, every ball is coming above the keeper head, above the keeper head. Now, it's just, I don't know. You need to get that bounce in the ball to take it off.
Virgil, cricket nowadays, those fast bowlers and things, whatever you're doing, it's just like your bank account nowadays. You know, there's no interest. You're not getting any interest. So you're just going to get in what you get out, what you put into it.
Exactly.
Right? So
The gentleman, the point I was trying to bring to the panelists is that who benefits from a match that is played in Pakistan? One, they scored nearly 2,000 runs in the first test, and it ended in a draw. Now, this team, the first team for Australia, first innings for Australia, 500 runs. And by the way, the Khawaja, he was born in Pakistan, and he went home.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Australia as a young guy, and he went home. And the first test, he scored 97, and the second test, he scored
160.
And
that was really good for him at his home soil. We would want, that would be nice to see. At least he can go back and do that. What somebody was saying, even the commentator, everybody was wondering why didn't these guys declare and give even 10 over to bat for Pakistan to bowl, maybe to get one or two wicket. But these guys was just blocking, instead of trying to push on the score. You know, because you only have 3 more days now, and then they go to bat tomorrow. And then for how long? And then, you know, Pakistan is going to go into bat. But I
don't think they're going to bat tomorrow. I think they're going to put Pakistan in because they have enough score to try to get them out twice. Or even if they should have to make any runs, it's just a minuscule amount. And they're just not.
If they declare, they will do it.
Today, this evening. Yeah.
They should have done it last night.
But,
yeah.
They're going to bat more, man. I think they're trying to reach, which was ridiculous. They're going to try maybe bat an hour or something like that, I believe, man. And
but
then left everybody out.
The point I was just trying to bring to the panelists is that Doak Khawaja was playing for Australia. The crowd was shouting his name, you know. Did you guys read that? They were shouting his name. They were talking about the field.
That's his roots, yep.
Yeah, that he makes sense.
That's his roots.
And my other question is, who benefits from a match that is kind of like a stalemate? Is it Pakistan batsmen to show that they can stand up to the Aussies face attack? Who benefits?
I think Leon has said, that's a good question. That's a good question. I mean,
who benefits from?
From the high-scoring game, like the match, the first one was drawn, and now you have 500 runs in the first inning.
The thing about it, I'll come in right here. The thing about it is that the Australian, the Aussies, the Pakistanis has good attack because when you have Shahid Afrini and you have Shaw, and you have the spinners and so that they have a good attack, and the Aussies show that they can stand up to the attack and they batted for 2 days. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they have something to prove after walloping England. And now it's up to the Pakistanis, after they have been out in the field for 2 days, to see if they can stand up to the Aussies. Remember, Imam Ul Haq made a century in both innings in the drawn test, the first one. So, let's see if he can go back and do another big-time performance, even if it's not century in both innings. But he needs some others to stand up with him. Azhar Ali made a century, I think, already too, in one of the test matches, in one of those innings. And so you have people who are going to try to work out their own individual games right now. And it's crucial for Pakistan not to go there and get bowled out before the party follow on total. Because at that time, if anything like that happened, they'll be destined to defeat, in my opinion. So they got to go out and make sure they surpass that follow on total. And from there on, you know, they have a better chance of drawing this match. Definitely, I would say Australia is in the ascendancy from this point where I'm sitting right now. But things can change. We know in cricket, the next side can come in and make over 600, 700. Who knows? Right?
They don't have enough time to do that, oddly.
But they can do it. Yeah, of course, they have 3 days of cricket to go. So if they decide that there's nothing in the match, so we're gonna just stay out here and bat and, you know, improve our average and whatever. They can stay there and bat and just decide they would have drawn the series. Of course, they're going to lose the series. So yeah. I think the bowlers are benefiting, the batters are benefiting, the spectators are, and depends on who come out on top. If by some reason or something dramatic should happen and say Australia should win it, then, of course, there'd be a big celebration for the Aussies. So they would have enjoyed it more.
Can someone tell me how many points, championship points that you get from a joint game? Dennis,
I think it's about 4 points, Leon, if I remember correctly.
It depends on how much test matches you're playing. So the points go according to it because they want
three test matches.
Yes, if you're playing 5 test matches and you're playing 3 test matches, it's a different point. They want it to be equal, so it's a different system. So it's not like, as I said before, it depends on if you're playing a 5 test match series or a 3 test match series or 2.
I think it's a 3 test series for Pakistan, I'm not sure. But the most important thing is that, you know, that proves that a
question
is a result still, right?
It's good for Pakistan then. I mean, because probably Australia thought they were going to come in.
Win, lose, or draw. You're right.
Yeah, they thought they were going to become in a war for Pakistan, but believe you, it ain't going to happen like that, man. So, anyhow, I prefer a draw than to be having a losing game, and I think Pakistan going to go. Don't think they're going to just fall on tomorrow or something. Anything can happen, but these guys going to bat. And maybe come up with the same 500 or something runs or something like that. I mean, close. But I don't think it's going to be a team that you never say can't happen, but just to say you're going to out them up under and then put them back in, because that's what everybody was talking about. So like, if they out them up, put them back in for the follow on. Because if you go in a bat, then you know it's going to end up on draw. So the only thing to get them out under that run and try to put them back in again and see what can happen from JK. Yeah, they can win the game. Hard game draw, but if you go in a bat again, there's no how you can win the game. Period.
I've just seen a note here that the points allocation is 12 points for a win, 6 points for a tie, 4 points for a draw, and 0 for a loss. But of course, the points available in the series usually matter. So I guess, as Audley said, it's probably that it will be a factor that will be used, but based on that. But they definitely state quite clearly that it's 4 points for a draw in the series.
4 points for a draw.
Okay. And I'll say my last thing on this and shut up, is that I think there are one overall winner in this game. One overall winner is
Pakistan
and the people of Pakistan. The fact that they're playing test cricket. International cricket in Pakistan now make them a winner.
Yes, that's for sure.
You had so many guards on deck. I think they have 4,000 soldiers outside guarding the stadium in the first test.
That is good. Because just remember now, you know, when in Florida, when the first game against Sri Lanka came there, man, it was a bunch of guards was all around, man. But then when the rest games started to come, then everything started quiet down, and you don't see that no more. even when India was there, you didn't really see nothing like what when Sri Lanka came there first, because a certain situation they had to do that for. And then everything just, you know, keep on coming back down to normal. So it's good for world cricket, man. I'm glad to see it finally, after all those years, which they had get banned from going there, which everybody understands, because I wouldn't want to go there under that same situation a long time ago. But now everything is back to normal now. I mean, I hope it stay like that, because all what we do, enjoy the cricket, and we just want to see, everybody want to see their team win. And that's what that's what. The next step is to see India and Pakistan playing cricket wherever they're playing cricket, and then everybody playing cricket against each other. That's just not like one team decide, I'm not going to play against this one and all kind of stuff. It should not happen like that. Everybody need to go all around and play each other. If you have a Champions Trophy, with especially Test Match Trophy, you can't say, okay, I'm not going to play against this team. It doesn't make no sense whatsoever. Because we want to see who is the world champion, and the world champion means everybody playing against each other. You're having Test Series with every country having a test series, whether five tests or two tests or whatever it is, they must play against each other.
Well, yes, it's happening while it's ICC, they play each other, so that's happening. When is ICC?
Simon, let's hear from Jatsna. Jatsna, good evening to you. How are you? Congratulations on India big win. Ladies winning a big. Is Jatsna with us?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, everybody. Yes, I'm happy for India, of course. And other teams, as they are playing. So very happy to see women playing and competing with each other. And some teams are winning and some not. So, but that's okay. It's part of the game.
Did you have some mercy with the West Indies? Did you have some mercy for the West Indies the other night?
Mercy for the West Indies. Of course. I know most of them are on the radio show are West Indians. I know that now.
You know, I was gonna say about your answer in such a way that I couldn't say that to you again. I was gonna say I don't like it this evening at all, because you guys beat us like kindergarten children. But you say you're sorry for them, so I like you. As a matter of fact, I still love you.
They played. West Indies played very good against New Zealand. It was a very very good game. I watched. Last couple of overs, I think. Mohammed, what is the lady's name? Mohammed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mohammed.
She played
like
very well.
Scores update, Dennis.
Bangladesh scored 190 for 3 in their allotted overs.
190. Okay. It's gettable.
190.
Are they not playing 50 overs?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're through.
50 over tournament, that is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 43 of 50.
Oh,
43 over.
I know, because that's what I'm saying. I'm up in 187 for 3. How could it be all over 190? And it's 42. All right.
I misread that. Sorry about that, gentlemen.
What are the questions for Jatsna before she park her vehicle? Jatsna, is India going to win the tournament?
I want them to win, yes. I hope so. I'm praying for them too.
They seem to have a weakness against New Zealand,
Australia
too. Know how to be West Indies. Jason told us it. Okay, Jason, why don't you give us a rundown on the India Premier League coming up the 26th of March until May the 29th. Anything new? I hear your places is now the captain for RCB, and Aaron Finch is replacing Alex Hales. Anything you want to mention?
No, other than that, there is a lot of player changes are going on. I believe there are about more than half dozen players are backing out for other commitment or for other reason or maybe for personal reason. And that is what the rosters are changing around now. And it's going to keep continue because this IPL is the one of the longest in terms of the time. And then it will be only played on two stadiums initially in the two cities, which is close to each other, actually. It's a matter of two-hour train ride. But even though I will say the situation of the corona and the psychological impact on the players will hamper this tournament. And then top of that, with almost 2 months on the calendar, means there are some teams will have their own schedule for international cricket. And it will be a lot of roster changes at the beginning because of the lot of other situation, and the middle of the season, means during the IPL, we can expect some stars will be walking away to do the national duty. And that will be on and off. But looking at the preparation, they are very upbeat. With all teams are in place, the schedule is in place, and things are settled down a little bit. If you're looking at current test match, they have enough spectators on the field, I will say. And that will be the plus thing for the cricket to have the fans now involved in this IPL. I'm not sure whether they will go at a full capacity or not. We're still waiting on that one. I believe the IPL side is waiting to announce that strategy maybe about a week ahead of the starting game to let the fans know whether they are going at full capacity or half capacity. That's only thing right now in a puzzle. But other than that, their preparation looks very strong and good. And even they bring the two more extra teams, every squad looks like a very good strength. It got more players involved now. With the two teams, I will say it's about 40 extra players getting into the IPL. That's a good thing. But at the same time, there's a lot of youngsters are floating around in almost every team. So it should be very exciting. It's not about the celebrity star players from the around the world. But this particular IPL will showcase those young, talented players coming from the local cricket and from the recent World Cup. And that will be the beautiful thing to see where the future is ahead for these young players.
Before anybody comment, I want you to comment on the organizing committee that is going to be set up by BCCI for the upcoming World Cup in 2023. Do you know about that? Or can you share any light as to how they go about
it? No, that is also part of the planning, and it will not be a major issue because when you look at the BCCI administration, they are running cricket very well for the last 40, 50 years, I will say, without any major issues from internal or external affairs, we call it, in terms of finance and regulation side. And with that population, and with more than 500 administrators involved in a cricket at the first-class level, I will say they'll find the best people to put that so. And when they do it, as we see in IPL success or any first-class or other games they are playing and organizing those events, it will be a good thing to have that the BCCI can give the top talented people to run the show. And that will be the great thing to see worldwide, how this thing is happening in India compared to what we see around the world.
Okay. Dennis, your task right now is to give us a synopsis or a detail of what we covered this evening so that the fans who came on late night who have missed might catch up on something. Can you do that first?
Well, we covered news roundup from the ICC, which involves the ladies and the men players moving up in their various ranks. You know, Manning from Australia, Matthews from the West Indies, Kaka from South Africa, Rana from India, Haynes moving up in their ranking as far as this current World Cup series. We have the ICC declaring the hashtag I Declare,
where they commit to driving change on international women's cricket, and they're prioritizing making sure cricket is played all around the world. And the ICC, Jadeja from India, has been declared the number one all-rounder, replacing the West Indian test player Jason Holder. And of course, we've got the Rawalpindi pitch, where over 1,000 runs were scored, being declared as rated by the ICC referee as being below average. And that, of course, still leaves my mind boggled as to why this pitch should be declared below average, because so many runs are scored. But, you know, who knows, they have some standards, and I'm not sure that I agree with the standards, but then that's not my call, but that's for you to say. We've also discussed the World Cup Championship in terms of those who are playing in the West Indies and England. And West Indies, in their two exciting matches that they won, we've looked at the West Indies versus England first test match and what performances it has been. And of course, we've also looked at the current Pakistan-Australia matches, where over 500 runs have been scored so far, with the emphasis on, will this pitch be declared below average? Wait, watch this space. So that's about what we've covered for the day. It's back to you, Leon.
Yes, one other thing we did cover is the match that is being played in the India Domestic League. We have some 769 runs were scored, and everybody scored a double figures except one player who went without scoring. 769 it was, right? And that's about all.
Yes,
Simon, any question from you, Simon? Okay, we have
two things. I'd like to have a rundown on the West Indies-England scores, first test in Antigua, and we discussed about the pitches are not being up to standard, but my answer for that is, if it's no good for England, it's no good for West Indies either, so you can't blame the pitch. They're both
that's
playing the same
awful
pitch, so you can't blame the pitch. So that's my take on that.
Gotta tell the West Indies coach that, not to blame the pitch.
Right.
So England scores, England 311 in their first innings. A century for Foulkes, he scored 140. And West Indies first inning, they scored 375. I think it was a lead up about 64, with Bonner scoring 123. Brathwaite 55, Holder 45. And in England's second innings, they scored 349 for six, with Crawley getting a ton on 21 and Root getting another ton, 109.
Okay.
We're seeing 109 runs. Root was out, so was Crawley. So England scored 349 for six, and set West Indies a total of about 268, I think it was, to win. West Indies went in and batted for the rest of the day. They scored 147 for the loss of four wickets, and the match was declared a draw at the end. Well, not declared, but it came to a draw in the end. So
okay,
you up to date, Simon.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next I wouldn't blame the pitch. If it's no good for one, it's no good for all. So I wouldn't blame the pitch.
Hold it. Dennis is giving you more information there. Go ahead, Dennis.
I was just saying to Simon that the next test match will begin on the 16th of March, which is about next Wednesday or Thursday.
Wednesday
in Barbados. Yeah.
In Barbados. Thank you.
We didn't conclude as to whom who should be dropped from the present team. I think the consensus was not many of the panelists feel that anybody should be dropped, but I am adamant that we should drop Brooks and Blackwood for Mears and Reefer.
And okay.
Finally, we wanted to... Okay, go. Why don't you come on in?
Before the final goodbye, there's the other cricket score I was telling you about. Decided they were playing the 40-over match. Yeah, Sagal Cricket Club, that is in India. Sagal Cricket Club in India. 643 for one in 40 overs. Right? 600 Michael Rawat made 408 not out. 408 not out in 139 balls. 408 not out in 139 balls. 32 fours and 38 sixes. And Surrender Daya, he made 198 in 104 balls, 23 fours and 10 sixes. And they bowled out Delhi Titans for 96, winning by 547. Ooh. 547.
That was a one-sided match, one-sided.
Well, I have a question, though, Audley. What is the size of the pitch or the ground that they're playing on? Because that
it's a big ground because I actually went to the video and was watching some of it. It is a huge ground. It's not a small ground.
Okay. Thank you.
By the way, the last test team, we picked the right team, folks. Did you know that? You guys noticed that we picked the right team for the Western's first test? We here picked it first from the 13. We dropped the two players and we had the team picked.
Yes, yes, Leon. Yes,
come on.
You. You got
it. Well, you guys agreed. So.
Yes.
Okay, Simon, your final thoughts? I thought you were excellent tonight.
No, well, I'm very happy to do that. As I say each Sunday evening I'm here, I learn something coming and show with you. Talented men and ladies also who know the game so well. I'm always looking forward to learn much more about the game that I love so much. And I want to wish everyone a very safe week. Everyone be safe and healthy. And we'll be seeing you back here next week, Sunday, on the Cricket Show from 6 to 9. Have a wonderful week, all. Good night to you.
Night. Okay, let's bring in the ladies first. Just come in and say your goodbye, then we bring in Donna and we bring in Mertrice to say bye. Come on in, Jetsna.
Okay. Yes, yes. Good evening, everybody. Again, it was a great show again. Be safe. Take care. And let's pray for women's team, especially for India, to see.
Why not?
Why not? Only this time, right? Last time Australia won, so we need to win this one.
Thank you so much, and you'll be safe now. I'll try to see
be safe, you take care. Yes, good night.
Let's see if you can get in Donna this time. She's on 718. Is that Donna, Ann? If not, come on
yes,
in.
Yes, this is Donna here.
Yes, we're trying
good
to
night,
get
all.
Good night, all.
Hey, good evening, Donna.
Yes, good evening. Just would like to say... Blessed week to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It was a nice show. Okay?
We did acknowledge the birthdays of your nephews now. Right?
Yes. So, and I have my grandson that's having a birthday on Friday.
Oh,
okay. Happy birthday, young man.
Why don't you say her name or his name and let us know.
Yes. Maybe. Okay. Have a good week, everyone.
What? What's the name of your grandson? What's the name of your grandson?
Duriel Brown.
Yes, I read that. I read
okay.
It.
I missed it, so I don't know. I missed the birthday greeting, so.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Merch.
Okay, then.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Let's see if we can get Merch back with us. All right, we didn't send him to sleep.
Once again. Good evening once again. I'd like to give my sentiments to Mr. McKenzie. Feel better and get well soon. Our prayers are with you. And have a good week, each and every one of you. And a good night, blessed night. So take care all.
Good night. And the same to you.
Okay. Same to you.
Thank you.
How about you, Virgil? Your final thoughts?
Just one is that good luck to West Indies in the next game. And to all the listeners all over the world, I hope you enjoy the show. Looking forward for another one again next week. And to all the panelists, enjoy talking to all you guys. And just want to say again, I just want to say very thank you to Andy Roberts and all his friends that was in his booth watching the game. And I really appreciate all these guys that was around. And I hope you get to hear it. And I really, really, really appreciate it. And thank you guys very much. And good night to each and every one of you.
I like when you put his title on.
I get it for a reason. So call him sir.
Yes. What do you say, Mr. Francis? Sorry.
I said if Nito Baptist has seen you. Nito Baptist.
Say again?
Nito Baptist. Did he see you from
Good Morning Jojo?
No, I would not know. Honestly, I'm telling the truth. The same president, I know the person you're talking about coming on the show, but I did not know. I don't know if he was at the game, but I don't know.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
But
okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. We cut him off again. Go ahead, then, Roger.
Yeah.
Repeat. Could you repeat that for me?
I get to say hi to Phil Simmons because one friend of mine that played cricket up in Florida, that's Phil Simmons' best friend, so I was talking to him. So I told him I see Phil Simmons, and I went up and called him until he looked over, and then I told him his friend said to tell him hi. That was another friend of mine up in Florida. So at least that was good, you know. But and Mr. Francis, whenever you see talk to Mr. Hugh Gore, tell him I said I really appreciate meeting him. It was a pleasure. And I enjoy all the conversation that we have in there. And I hope I get to see him again. And I hope he gets to be, tell him I said, I want him to be the manager of West Indies team. Because the way he talked and some of the things they say he do when he used to manage, play with, I think manage one of those teams. And I was really impressed with what he was saying. You know?
Mm-hmm. He's good. He's good. His father taught him a lot. Okay,
yeah.
How about
and I really enjoy this guy's company. Really, really, really. Tell the truth.
Your final thoughts, sir?
Thank you guys for coming out today. It's a great show. Mm-hmm. And we have lots of things going on cricket. So come back next weekend. And we'll try to cover everything out there in cricket world. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you, too. Dennis, you were saying something?
Well, yes, my goodbyes. The Bangladesh score is 213 for 6 after 46.5 overs.
Okay.
The England-South Africa match is just getting underway, and I'm disappointed because the stream I was looking at with Bangladesh has now been dropped in favor of the England stream. So...
Dennis, we have only 90 seconds before Audley gets in. Audley, your final thought.
Okay, wonderful to know that we enjoy the cricket, our program this evening. And be careful, former President Barack Obama just reported that he contacted the COVID, so COVID is still out there, so let us keep him in our prayer. And before I go, a thought for today, Vince Lombardi will play for the NFL. He said, winning isn't everything, but wanted to win is. Have a great week. God bless you.
Nice. Good. Good night to all of you folks. And the captain is thinking. Go home with
it. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night, Leon.
Night.
This is an SOS from the church. Good night, all. Good night, all.
Venezuela, SOS, SOS, mayday, mayday, mayday. Help! 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 The Trinidad, I love.
apart. And in her day, she failed majestically. There were few in her class. Faithfully, she fulfilled her sailor's need. Some were overpowered by greed, and so they pilfered slow. Some took by bulk and go. Now she looked dull, she's at a lull. She could barely sit on her hull. Captain, the ship is sinking. Captain, the seas are rough, oh yes. We got tank almost empty, no electricity. We oil pressure reading low. Shall we abandon ship, or shall we stay on it and perish slow? We don't know, we don't know. Captain, you tell me what to do. Whoa, whoa.
If only there was something I could have done to restore the credibility of this beautiful vessel. Money's no problem, problem, problem.
Now there's a lot of fingers pointing. Suspicion running strong. Who's to be blamed for all her failures? Who's to be blamed for doing her wrong? Now please remember, I'm warning you. For 30 years she has been through. Who hold the keys to her vault? So we know who's at fault. Now it's up to you. It's up to me to make her worthy to go back to sea. Captain, the ship is sinking. Almost empty, no electricity. We oil pressure reading low. Shall we abandon ship, or shall we stay on it and perish?